morning, honorable members, the department. I don't know, DM, whether probably in this case you are excluded from the honorable members for accounting purposes, so that you don't turn against us and say I'm part of you. So you were welcoming the department led by the deputy minister and the acting DG, the representatives from the chamber, and esteemed guests, and the officials from the department and the committee staff. It's been a very long year. But we hope by the time we see you next year, those who will meet, you will still be in one piece and at peace, not in pieces. This is our last committee for this year. Then we had invited you, both the particularly the chamber and the department, as we know that mostly all the time when we at the beginning of the year we deal with there's an event that is very critical in the sector where we are, which is the mining endeavor. And therefore it's quite important just to take each other on board on how do we leverage in that process as a common team that is able to take this country forward. What are the key areas that we think that we will require and need one another as one team? Welcome, Honorable Matlala, and accept our apology to start before you arrived. It won't happen again until 2017. Yeah. So that is what we will be dealing with, and obviously the department, again, as we know that on the 5th of February 2017, it will be almost a year, or one would say, I don't know whether you can call that an anniversary or a commemoration or whatever it is, but it will mark exactly 1 year since the Lily Mine disaster had occurred. So we will then be able to get a brief just on how far are the processes and what are the processes and what is planned probably by the department, especially if we arrive at that time. We don't know. Depends on the report. What is it that is in mind? On that note, welcome Honorable Mafolo. Again, let me extend our apologies as a committee to start before you arrive. I won't talk about this common experience. I don't know whether is it coincidental. It's said that it's 16 days of activism. Now I might be accused of abusing women. But it's quite interesting that Honorable Matlala, every time arrives in the committee late, there is a lady with him. Last time it was Honorable Nyambe. Now it's Honorable Mafolo. And But what is interesting is that they don't come together. They come in installments. One person wants to, the first one comes in, then 2 minutes later the other one will come in. Okay. Any apologies?
Good morning, members. We've got an apology from Honorable Mukwena. He won't attend today's meeting, and there's an apology from the minister as well, attending cabinet. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I hope, I thought Honorable Mukwena would be happy when the Chamber of Mines is here. But it's okay. Honorable Jafta?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to request to be excused by 9:30. I've got another meeting to attend. Maybe I will rejoin you if it finishes earlier.
There's nothing we can do. Whilst you are in charge of deployment in your own organization, maybe if it was someone we're going to report to you, you can't report yourself, you to yourself. But when you see the General Secretary of the AIC, just tell him that he is member of this committee. Is a member of this committee as it meets on Wednesday. Probably next time we'll consider the apology if we meet as a committee on Tuesday or Thursday. But we'll write the letter to the General Secretary. Don't know us. Okay. Being the case as it may, we will then start with the chamber. I am on time with only 2 minutes outside that time to make the presentation. I hope I'm not obstructing anyone where I'm seated. When there are no complaints, then you can continue, Chamber.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Very good morning to Honorable Members. Good morning to Deputy Minister and the Acting DG. Again, Honorable Members, thank you very much for inviting the Chamber of Mines to come and address you. Thank you in particular, Honorable Chair, and all the other guests here today. I'd like to firstly pass on an apology for our CEO, Roger Baxter. He could not be here today due to a prior engagement. He deeply apologizes for not being able to address you in person, and so he has sent essentially myself and my colleague Zagiti. My name is Dibello Chabana. I'm Head of Public Affairs and Transformation at the Chamber of Mines, so it's a positive that I actually be here for this presentation. And my colleague, Zagiti Zama, who I think you know even better, is also within the public affairs and stakeholder relations team. So thank you very much. So this presentation that I'm going to take you through, discusses essentially quite a lot of issues relating to some of the issues, how we're promoting the sector, and we go into a bit of detail again in some of the issues in the back, but we finish off essentially with the kind of messaging that we will be giving towards the mining in Daba, so please do bear with us. Before I start, is there anything else you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. I think it's always important to just recap on, what is the Chamber of Mines? The Chamber, as you know, is a voluntary employers organization, and essentially promotes the collective views of its members. We provide strategic support and advisory input. So we're essentially a lobbying entity, but with no executive authority, essentially, over our members. Our members, 38 of them are major mining companies, your known household brands, Impalas, Lonmans, Anglo-Americans, Rio Tintos, Sol 32s and the like. But we have also 32 junior mining members, or we call them the emerging mining group, primarily in gold and manganese. I think 15 of these are like 100% black owned. So the chamber's representation is actually very broad compared to what it was, say, maybe 10 years ago. We have a large number of very small startup mining companies as part of our membership. And we have four associations that themselves have a lot more smaller players as part of their membership. Our members represent about 90% of South Africa's mineral production by value and contributed, I think, in 2015, about $11.3 billion in taxes. We employ about 400,000 people directly. And quite importantly, in 2015, the Chamber came up with a membership compact, which all members have to sign, and it's essentially a code of good business ethics that the members have to sign, and members that do not comply with that, we'll take them through a process of trying to help them to comply with the law, because the code says members must comply with the law. So to the extent that they don't, we'll obviously try to help that member, but at the end of the day, we can certainly expel that member from the chamber if they do not comply with the laws of the country or uphold good business practices. The first slide, the substance there, is really just to talk about South Africa. I mean, mining matters to South Africa. Despite the fact that the industry was in a loss-making position in 2015, we still contributed substantially, and mining is still really the fundamental pillar of South Africa. We contributed 25% of merchandise exports, about 15% to foreign direct investment, 17% of private investment. I think we make up about 7.7% of the South African GDP, 10% of the JSE market cap, and the numbers relating to jobs, as we said, 400,000 plus 460,000 jobs. But if you look at the multiplier included, it could be about, we're looking at about 1.4 million that are dependent essentially on mining in the country for employment. SA Mining, we feel, has still got some great potential. You know, if the growth constraints can be removed and the industry makes significant progress on modernization and innovation, the industry can certainly grow. I mean, if the industry had grown at the rest of the pace of the economy between 1994 and 2013, the country's growth rate would have been about 4% at the time, not the 3.2%. If you look at the non-gold mining sector, it can grow by the sector can grow by 3.5% per annum, resulting in a more balanced country growth rate. At a growth rate of 5%, mining industry can actually double in size in about 15 years, and thereby significantly increasing exports and reducing saving investment constraints, increasing direct and indirect jobs, and significantly contributing to investment, transformation, and development. The gold mining sector can slow down the rate of decline and bring to account the country's significant remaining gold reserves and help sustain and create significant economic linkages in the rest of the economy. So certainly the potential in terms of growth for South Africa is certainly still there. But in reality, though, the real mining GDP shrank by 2.7% between 1990 and 2015, while the other sectors of the economy grew substantially. For instance, if you look at the financial sector in the same period, they essentially GDP grew by 167%. So with the kind of mineral resources that we have, with the kind of endowment that we have, we really have to be asking the question about, you know, what are the roles and responsibilities of the various stakeholders, including ourselves? You know, what can we do to turn this around? As you know, mining has significant linkages into the economy, from essentially exploration right down to refining. Our industry has a huge impact on side stream beneficiation, on the supply side in terms of manufacturing, chemicals, consumables, rail, port, electricity, and also in terms of capital goods. And on the in the terms of direct services, we've got geological, engineering, health, and safety, but there are a whole lot of other services that are linked to mining, such as financial services, banking, stock market, auditing, and business. And as we know, South Africa has a fantastic banking sector, primarily as a result, of essentially the mining sector, if those that know the history of South Africa. And more downstream, we've got the manufacturing of autocats, chemicals, steel, jewelry, and on the side, energy. As you know, I think close to 90% of our coal is utilized for our electricity, and we produce something to like 30 to 40%, I think, of the country's liquid fuels through minerals. So more than half of the NDP priorities can actually be tackled by mining. I mean, those relate to economy and employment, economy infrastructure, environmental sustainability, an integrated and inclusive rural economy, positioning South Africa in the world, transforming human settlements, improving education, training, and innovation, and promoting health. So mining is still certainly a core part of the economy and can still contribute quite extensively to the NDP. I just want to talk a little bit about the progress that has been made on the health and safety front. Over the past 2 decades, safety and occupational health has improved in the mining sector, with an 87% reduction in the number of fatalities between 1983 and 2015. Industry reduced fatalities for 8 consecutive years since 2007, and injury milestones up to December 2016, there was a 20% reduction in serious injuries per year. But you know, the one thing that this slide is not saying is, you know, one should try to compare fatalities in mining to other sectors. I mean, if you look at the numbers in terms of fatalities, comparing mining, say, to the transport sector, they don't report their numbers. Why don't they? The number of transport fatalities are much, much higher than in mining. You know, it's actually much safer to be in a mine than on South Africa's roads. But, you know, those kind of comparisons are never drawn. Mining is always seen as this industry that has high fatalities. But if you compare it to other sectors of the economy, you'll realize that fatalities are not, yes, I think one fatality is one fatality too many in our sector. But maybe it's about time that other sectors of the economy actually reported their fatality stats. And I think the country will be given a much clearer picture of the reality. The sector is really going through some challenging times, though, at the moment. Apart from the depressed commodity prices, which clearly other mining economies are also facing, the South African mining industry is facing some huge challenges of unsustainable cost increases, some infrastructure challenges, and some huge price hikes, workplace challenges, including increasing depth and declining grades relating to some of our commodities. I know this portfolio committee has been to site visits, and you know, it's a real eye-opener that, you know, with gold and platinum-bearing rock, for instance, when you go below 2,000 meters, I believe, you're talking rock temperatures of above 40 degrees Celsius on gold, above 70 degrees Celsius on the platinum side below 2,000 meters. So those are huge challenges, and that is also why this drive for modernization. And those have a huge impact on our productivity. And also the increasing expectations and demands from stakeholders. I mean, if I can give an example here, a few weeks ago, as part of the Fees Must Fall campaign, the students decided to march on who? They marched on the Chamber of Mines and the mining industry. No other sector. They marched on us to say, well, what are you contributing towards our tertiary institutions? Little do they know that the mining sector is the largest private sector contributor to tertiary institutions. No other sector of the economy contributes as much to tertiary institutions, also in terms of bursaries, as the mining industry. And remember, we make up what, as I've said, not even 8% of the economy. So they're expecting the 8% of the economy to make up for the other 92%. You know, so this is just to show how some stakeholders, you know, they have a very, I think, warped view of mining. And yet mining is the biggest contributor in terms of assisting those tertiary institutions and those students themselves. Our domestic cost pressures have risen far too quickly for mining inputs. Electricity prices have trebled in 7 years. Wages have increased more than 10% over the past 10% per annum over the past 5 years. Stores and materials up greater than 10% per annum. Steel up top percent per annum over the past 5 years. And what's happened also is that productivity has fallen for a decade, largely because of declining grades, aging mines, production disruptions. Platinum output per employee is down 49%. Real labor cost per kilogram is up 309%. And certainly there's this inability to increase shifts per annum. So we emphasize there, it's just still on the loss slide, we emphasize there that, you know, mining made an aggregate loss, net loss of $37 billion in 2015. And I think, according to our standing, the mining sector is the only sector in the economy to make a loss in the last 2 years. The stakeholders of the economy of the sector signed the declaration on the 31st of October to address challenges and find short and medium long and mid and long term solutions to the challenges in the sector. But to date, the focus has been essentially on preventing the industry from restructuring. Other measures relating to productivity, lowering costs, developing markets, or tax reductions have not been explored. Yes, preventing jobs is critically important. But I think, you know, we have to, as an industry, go back to the declaration and say, well, let's look at those other elements that we agreed to. Let's look at those other things that need to be done to try to help the viability of the industry. And this certainly hasn't been done. We need to. As far as promoting South Africa goes, I think it's important to note that we are very active in promoting South Africa as an investment destination. At mining and investor conferences around the world, the JSE-SA Tomorrow Conference in New York, the PDAC, Mines and Money, which was now recently, Africa Down Under, and I had the advantage of attending the JOCMEJ in Japan, presenting to the Japanese investors about the economy. So we're very active. At mining conferences, the Joburg Indaba, the Mining Indaba, we have as a chamber, have a strategic relationship with the Mining Indaba event company to support essentially the conference. We ensure participation of the big mining groups and therefore the investors. We facilitate participation by the emerging miners. We've been quite strong in trying to ensure that the emerging miners get exposure to investors. And this 2017 Mining Indaba, there's I've forgotten the name now. It's almost like they're doing a bit of like a Shark Tank idea. I don't know if you've seen the Shark Tank. It's called Shark Tank in SA, where investors, emerging miners get to pitch at investors. We're trying to find innovative ways to ensure that emerging miners get exposure. You know, we participate in a lot of the investor events surrounding the Mining Indaba. We also participate at the Alternative Mining Indaba. It's important to hear what the NGOs are saying about the mining industry and be part of that discussion. We have editorial support for the publications around the Mining Indaba. We play a leadership role in MIASA. This is the Mining Industry Association of Southern Africa, with all those associations. And we contribute to the Ministerial Mining Forum just before the Indaba. But more importantly, I think we are in essentially probably weekly engagements, at most fortnightly, with foreign investors, talking to them about South Africa, telling them, one, South Africa, how strong a democracy we have in South Africa, a vibrant democracy that we have in South Africa. Sometimes they must look through all the noise, because things must be debated in a South African context. At the end of the day, certain decisions are made for the benefit of the country, but we've got a very strong democracy, strong institutions, and we talk about the economy of South Africa. Still, certainly, I think a diverse economy on a strong footing. We have our challenges, but we're addressing them. So, you know, those are the kind of discussions that we have with investors. Now, I think this committee knows that mining has a set of particular characteristics, in that it's a high-risk industry with long lead times from exploration through to mine development and ultimately through to closure. It's very capital-intensive, and a large portion of the capital is spent in the development of the mine, and it's very cyclical. And the industry essentially are price takers and cannot pass on the cost increases to the final consumer. The industry is geographically captured in terms of, you know, you find the resources where they are in these far-flung places, and it requires access to cost-effective and efficient infrastructure. So in order to encourage mining investment, policies need to recognize the characteristics of mining and help reduce the risks of investment in these long-term projects. And the next slide essentially just shows you the long life cycle that mining has. You know that from exploration even to when the mine is in development, it can take more than a decade. It is a very long process. I'll just hand over to my colleague.
Thank you, Mr. Chabana. Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and your delegation, honorable members, guests, good morning. As I've been introduced earlier, my name is Bagito Zama. I'm going to go through a few slides and then hand over back to Mr. Chabana through you, Chair. Mr. Chabana has just highlighted that the life cycle of mining is quite a long one, and as the industry, we need certainty. And for us to be able to create a successful mining sector, there are a couple of enablers that we have identified. The first one being a more effective problem-solving partnership between the stakeholders, and those being the government, us as business, as well as organized labor. Each and every one of those stakeholders has a key role to play in ensuring that all the issues that we have are resolved in an effective manner. The next one is that of the regulatory and legislative environment that has to be stable, predictable, and competitive. And the third one is the stable and constructive labor relations environment and more impactful social development. Mining is not just about mining the minerals underground, but there's a lot of social development that comes with the presence of the mine in communities. Access to available, efficient, and cost-effective infrastructure, electricity and rail. Thankfully, we do not have a load shedding anymore, but cost of electricity is still a challenge, as well as the aging rail infrastructure. Solutions to improve productivity, we call this in the industry as modernization to reduce cost pressures. Through you, Chair, I'd like to highlight a few legislative instruments that we feel that they need to be resolved in the most amicable way. The first one being the MPRDA bill that we feel that it has to be finalized by Parliament. The Davis Tax Commission, our response to the interim report, we support the retention of the mining royalty model, and we reject the notion of a resource rent tax, because that will also increase the cost of doing business. We believe that there's inconsistent application of Section 54, and we would appreciate a situation where there is speeding up of the development of the policy on Section 54 stoppages. The one environmental process system, we are supportive of the system, and we believe that good progress has been made in resolving the challenges, especially the treatment of mine residue and hazardous waste. And we will be meeting with the Department of Environmental Affairs later this week to resolve some of those issues. I will be touching on the financial provision later on in the second or third slide. The carbon tax, we believe that the implementation can be delayed by a period of 5 years because imminent implementation can result in escalating costs. Because it will require significant offsets and rebates for carbon-intensive trade exposed sectors. The mining charter, Mr. Chabana will speak to that later on in one of the slides, but we believe that it is critical that the charter that emerges is the one that has been mutually acceptable to all industry and government. Through you, Chair, if I may just quickly go through the MPRDA on our views, which is now before the NCOP. We do appreciate, as the industry, the rigorous engagement we embarked upon with the Department of Mineral Resources since 2010 when the first amendments were introduced. We also believe that there are continuing differences of opinion on the constitutionality of some of the provisions contained in the bill, which are different from the ones that the DMR has. And we believe that the constitutionality aspects of the bill will be dealt with accordingly as the bill gets finalized. On the overall content of the bill, our engagements with the DMR focused on crafting a legislation that will promote all the aspects of the mining industry and bring as much certainty as practicable, also bolster investor confidence. And lastly, the urgency to finalize the bill to enhance certainty and confidence in respect of the industry regulatory framework, and we believe that the regulations have got to deal with some of the issues that still need further clarity, especially the one of the ministerial discretion on Section 11 approvals. The NIMA financial provisions, which I touched on a slide before this one, we've had extensive engagement with the Department of Environmental Affairs as well as the DMR on the technical and financial aspects being proposed on the regulations. The two issues of concern is that of double funding as well as the application of trust funds. On double funding, our view is that mining companies are expected to fund the ongoing rehabilitation of activities through the operating costs, at the same time make provision for the ongoing rehabilitation and environmental management costs in financial provision KT. We believe that our ongoing engagements with the DIA and DMR will ensure that hurdle is cleared in the most swift way. In terms of the application of trust funds, all the permit holders are no longer allowed to use the trust fund as a vehicle for financial provision for the rehabilitation, the final rehabilitation, decommissioning, and closure. Through you, Chair, I'd like to hand over to Mr. Chabana.
Thanks, Sam. I just want to talk a little bit about the the mining charter. And we would like to firstly reaffirm our commitment to transformation as an industry, and transformation that is undertaken in a manner that sustains and supports the industry, and certainly does not undermine the laudable goals of the MPRDA. And all the key targets of the 2010 mining charter, we feel, were certainly substantially met. I think you know that certainly we're of the view that the industry, chamber members, sorry, achieved empowerment levels of 38% on average compared to the 26% target that was set. I think certainly even in the DMR's own assessment, 90% of the mineral right holders on a weighted basis had achieved the beyond 26%. The value of the empowerment transaction since 2000 amounted to $205 billion in 24 money terms. The value of meaningful economic transfer since 2000 amounts to $159 billion. HDA beneficiaries who have both benefit directly and indirectly are composed of the following categories. 63% B entrepreneurs, 46 companies. So we have certainly created those black industrialists. 22% communities, about 6.9 million individuals, HDSAs. 15% employees, about 210 individual HDSAs. And, you know, I challenge anybody to show a scheme that was more beneficial to employees across the country, whatever the sector, that was more beneficial, say, for instance, than the Kumba scheme, as an example. Clearly, they haven't all been successes. We note that, but we think the industry has complied sufficiently. In terms of a charter, what we certainly as we're expecting is a charter is one that was steadily progressive and predictable, while simultaneously ensuring that the transformation journey that we had undertaken did not lose its momentum. We have some concerns about the current mining charter in terms of process and around content. And let me also try to explain, essentially with this mining charter, there have been two processes, two separate processes. The one has been relating to the BE ownership, and the one has been relating to the mining charter itself, all the elements other than the charter. Relating to BE ownership, as we know, the industry started a clarity process to deal with BE ownership. Some call it the once empowered issue. That court case was put in abeyance so that the industry could essentially negotiate an outcome. Okay, so that one process, essentially led by the minister and the team. Certainly, there were certainly quite a few meetings here on this process. I'm not too sure how many, but quite a substantial number of meetings in dealing with BEE ownership. However, as we've said in the media, even with this process, the last engagement that took place here amongst the principals was in July of this year. So we as a sector feel that certainly a lot more should have been done, a lot more can be done to resolve this BEE ownership dispute. Yes, there was some supplementary information giving in September, but the last meeting of the principals only took place in July of this year. So a lot more could have been done to try to resolve this particular issue. Now, relating to the other elements of the charter, the mining charter, other than ownership, this process, again, the mining sector has not been happy. We have had two meetings with the DMR on this charter, and we feel that for such an important piece of transformation, such an important transformation instrument, we should have much, much more substantive engagement. Certainly the processes of the 2002 and 2010 mining charter were more inclusive, greater engagement through MIGDET, as you know, is a multi-stakeholder body. We would have preferred that. Let's engage with other stakeholders. We as a sector do not expect to be the only ones that are engaged. No, we encouraged a multi-stakeholder engagement on this issue, which didn't happen this time around. It's been essentially bilateral. We've had bilateral, certainly with the DMR. So we have been consulted, but certainly not engaged to the extent that we would have wanted to be engaged. And, you know, I asked the question, I mean, other sectors of the economy are intimately involved in the formulation of their own sector charters. You know, why can't the mining industry? So some concerns relating to some of the content. You know, the Chamber's of the view that the DMR has certainly not taken on board some of the key recommendations or submissions of the Chamber. And we fear that the cumulative effect of all these proposals, combined with existing corporate taxes and royalties, levies and the like, will certainly materially affect the viability of the sector that is already in crisis at the moment. There's a proposal to establish the Mining Transformation and Development Agency. We certainly have not been provided with any real detail relating to this entity, so we're not really too sure what the purpose is of this entity, the costs, the oversight. And if you look at the contributions to the MTDA, so we don't support it, as we said, as a chamber. Do we really need a separate new entity? This 1% of turnover for community development, we have said we do not support a turnover-based contribution for community development. We would rather it be a profit-based. We also know that even National Treasury has moved to an EBIT-based royalty for this very reason. So the sector put on the table a target of 2% net profit after tax is a contribution for community expenditure. And there's a need also for government to use some of the existing royalties to be paid, that are paid by companies to communities that are impacted, we think, by mining. In other mining jurisdictions, you know, you get like, say, in, I think, Ghana, Argentina, some 20% of the mining royalties, for instance, go to areas that are impacted by mining, because they are particularly impacted by mining, even though it is understood that the royalties are for the benefit of the country as a whole. So now, it's, according to our understanding, is that some of these contributions will also go to the MTDA. Another concern that we have is that, you know, much-needed funding for the skills programs and tertiary education currently undertaken is going to be diverted again to the agency. The chamber made the 5% of payroll payroll skills commitment in 2010 on the basis that the funds will be under control of the company. So the DMR's proposal is now a tax, as it takes that funding now to this other agency. We think that money is best spent by the industry. And also, let's also just look at the outcomes. If you look at the bursary schemes by, for instance, an Anglo Platinum, where they're having a higher than 80% pass rate or success rate with their bursars, compared to, say, the success rate of the bursars and the bursary schemes in terms of the MQA, which is much lower at 30%, the mining companies are actually achieving the desired outcomes. So if we're going to look at, if we want to look at the efficacy of that spend, well, let's look at the efficacy of that spend and make that decision accordingly. There's 1% of turnover generated from local mining company expenditure by multinational companies that is meant to also go to the MTDA. So the original 0.5 was doubled. So what the multinational companies are really going to do in this instance is essentially just pass that cost on to the industry, just making mining a little bit more expensive. So it's a concern also for the industry. On the employment equity side, certainly the DMR has increased the targets, but also the definition has changed from SDSA to black, which impacted certainly the mining numbers by the removal of white women by a certain amount. I think that they made up about 15%. But if you change the definition and increase the targets, as you can understand, it makes it more challenging from the mining sector, which is arguably, yes, on a lower base. But one has to look at, well, what is achievable by the sector? And I think, you know, some of the concern with some of the targets, for instance, we will have big challenges is, say, black woman representation in certain levels. I mean, you're looking at a more than doubling of targets. So the question isn't a matter of, well, are the targets good or bad? Yes, it's important to be trying to increase transformation, but what is achievable for the sector? And I think that's the concern that the sector has. Are we being set up for failure? Similarly, on the procurement side, looking at, the targets appear to ignore the non-availability of certain types of locally manufactured heavy equipment. So yes, we're supportive of local content objectives, provided they are based on proper research and realistic targets. I think certainly if some work has been done in this regard, we have not been privy to understanding these targets. This issue has not been shared with us. I think for the sake of time, I'll skip the next slide and then essentially go off to the final slide that looks at some mining and Indaba messaging. So this is essentially the type of messaging that we think is key. We point out that mining is important for South Africa and still has great potential for growth, transformation, and contributing to, to growth and transformation and the NDP objectives. The mining industry is, however, facing significant challenges, and, you know, we're working to alleviate them. And these problems aren't unique to South Africa, but certainly some of the challenges are. Partnership between the key stakeholders is absolutely vital. We remain vigilant and constantly working on policy certainty. It is absolutely critical. Hence, why we raised some of the concerns relating to the mining charter, MPRDA, and one environmental system. You know, so we have to be very vigilant relating to these areas. It's important that we have access to or there's available, efficient, and cost-effective infrastructure. This is critical for mining. The mining industry and its labor counterparts are working together to promote a stable labor relations environment. I think the recent progress at NEDLAC discussions relating to minimum wage and on the legislative measures to avoid long-duration strikes is certainly welcome. Solutions to improve productivity, you know, next-generation mining, are being driven by stakeholders in the sector to improve competitiveness and the viability of the sector. That is all. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chabana. Can the Afrikaans praat? Goed. Okay, we will come. We will take both presentations and then we will then have questions of clarity and comments. Thanks for the presentation. I allowed you to exceed that time because you had a very good timing with your presentation. The serious matter that I stopped you, I would have been accused. So I allowed you to deal with that. You don't have documents? Eh? Oh. Some of us have taken off our jackets, but there is nothing we can do. This, I wouldn't say it's a cold-blooded person. Me, Honorable Lorima, Honorable Piginini.
You were just telling me now, Chair.
You know what's the problem? Is that when you came and you were rushing, so your body became warm and hot. And now when you are here, your body temperature is going down. You then think you are feeling cold. So next time come early in the meeting so that what you are wearing doesn't become wet and dry in your body. Yes. DM, mm-hmm. We are all yours. I want you to lead your delegation on the presentation.
Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, Honorable Members of Parliament here today present, the acting DG of the department and senior members. Ntatebello Chabane, leading the Chamber of Mines delegation, and Advocate Zama. I see that we've got researchers here and distinguished other ladies and gentlemen. Let me start off, Chair, by thanking you very much for giving us the opportunity just to reflect on a few issues, and also thank the Chamber of Mines for their elaborate presentation. I think it would be proper, also as the department, to take into account what the Chamber has raised and have a meeting with them so that we can dispel some of the issues that are of concern to the industry. Because in this very good morning of today, we are concluding the work of Parliament, including this one, of the committee. So as we draw towards the conclusion of this year, we continue to really welcome the engagements with the Portfolio Committee. We are entrusted with the responsibility to ensure fundamental transformation and growth and sustainability of the mining industry. And we have done a lot of work that has been referred to, including the Stakeholder Declaration of 2010, and also the issue that we dealt with about the global economic crisis that we concluded in 2015, August. So I think we are at one with stakeholders generally in the country about the need for proper transformation of the industry. And that's what I think the issues that remain is, but what are the issues that are of concern? We remain really, as the ministry, open to engagements, and I'm making it right here, a commitment that we will engage with the chamber on the whole range of issues at that level. And I'm happy that our senior officials and the chamber have been talking. We've seen the message of the chamber, which is a positive message for the mining endeavor that is taking place in February. Please, members, also know that we are engaging at different international fora to promote South Africa in mining. We do have, you know, a mineral policy and promotion section in the department that specifically deals with that. And every year we give our message to the mining endeavor in February. We have consistently participated in the Prospectors and Developers Association in Canada, PDAC, and the Mining Down Under in August in Perth, Australia. So those levels of engagements are high level where we promote South African mining industry. So we are going to continue to do that. In this process, we also get some bilaterals and other engagements with other countries. And I think that the mining in Durban 2017 is going to be very interesting, because there's a lot high demand of people to come and particularly and engage into the future of this industry. It will also be meeting at a time when commodity prices are getting better. So I envisage that in the next 5 to 7 years, South Africa will smile again, the winter will be over. But we have to prepare for the future as we go forward. We are greatly concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about the levels of fatalities in the mining industry and accidents, especially when it comes to gold and platinum mines. Families and loved ones of mine workers whose life have been shortened have gone through a lot of pain and suffering. And the repercussions of those accidents and fatalities go well beyond the boundaries of socioeconomic impact and so on. Hence, we continue to place the emphasis on zero harm. And also, we would recall, members, as some of you participated in the Mine Health and Safety Tripartite Summit that ended on the 18th of November in 2016 to review the state of health and safety in the sector, as well as the progress we have made since 2014 summit milestones. So we're not going to get into that because the issues that we were dealt with were really issues of visible leadership, trust deficit, communication, empowerment of supervisors and employees, and also conducting an annual company health and safety days and so on. So one thing that I want to bring to the attention of the committee that we need to start focusing on is the program of the African Union, the African Mining Vision. We were recently in the Central African Republic, and you would recall that South Africa, Republic of South Africa and the Central African Republic are the only countries on this continent that swear in the name of Africa. Others have got no name Africa in them. So we have decided that together we are going to collaborate with others, but champion the African Mining Vision that you would be more aware of. Further, the department will continue to cooperate with stakeholders in the sector, especially on issues of mine health and safety. You will recall the Lily Mine issue. We are going to be giving a briefing on that one, a full briefing. I won't go into the details. And sadly, those three employees and comrades are still trapped underground. There was, as you remember, since the February, an engagement of the Minister of the Mine. There were three issues, one relating to rescue and recovery of the people, and the other one related to the announcement in paying the families some amounts, and those who were rescued there, gratuitous amounts. And the last one was really doing the investigation on this matter. So after long discussions, the mine then agreed with everybody that they should be given 6 months to try and do their work and so on. 6 months later, we went there, and they could not achieve what their objectives were. We met with the mine rescue, the business rescue practitioners in charge of the mine. We also brought in the mine rescue services to come and re-look into the whole matter. Their problem were finances. I went there myself with the president of the Chamber of Mines and looked into the whole stories and what are their insurances, what are the issues and so on. But fast forward, gave ourselves 2 weeks to go and re-look at the place. And also we went to consult with the financial institutions to hear what the problems were. And the mine also assured us that the mine rescue practitioner, that they finally got the money. Gave an undertaking that by the 15th of November, they would have paid the families the 200,000 that were promised, each family, and then the 50,000, the whatever, 50,000 for the rest of the people who were rescued, about 75 of them. But those would have been paid in December 15. Regrettably, when it came to the 15th of November, they did not honor that commitment. We tried to get to the bottom of it, but we're hoping that before the 15th of December, as they promised, this matter would have been resolved. But then 2 weeks later, after our visit, we went back there with an interim program in between, where the mine rescue services and the mining went back to assess the integrity of the rockfall at Lily Mine, came back with the rock engineers, the professionals that we sent there. They camped in that place to go and look into going back to check the places that they have been before. Regrettably, they came back to say the situation has deteriorated to an extent that nobody would be allowed at that stage to go back to the mines. To the mine, and the ventilation shaft was not safe. Even the rescue hole that was there also had deteriorated. So which meant another 6 months, regrettably. We also would, in our international engagements, we met with some companies with expertise to help us. We discussed that with the mine. They agreed that there was a company that we were engaging together with the mine on to try and help us with their technology to locate the container and also see what we can do. So it's actually work in progress at a technical level. But we must admit that the geology of that place is so tricky You'll recall that when people went for rescuing, the whole mountain came down twice, so compromised the whole situation. We went back to go and look into that. It was not getting better. I think with the rains and everything else and so on. The difficult matter is really a matter for the family, for the families. We met with the families the first time we went there, and also you would recall that the president has assigned an interministerial committee of three in social development, mineral resources, and the third one, what is that one? Mineral resources, social development. Who was the third minister? Was assigned? Sorry? Women. To just at least deal with the family and other issues. So that is proceeding. The last time we were there, we also went with Rand Mutual Assurance to look into what their obligations were. So at the family's level, what we can do at the moment is give them the ultimate price they are looking for to show them their families whatever has happened to them. That is what we are trying to do, and that is what has been delayed. The last matter, the third matter, has been the issue relating to the investigations into the cause of that. The mine has been having problems into doing their own investigations. They got extensions from the department. Finally, they gave us a report by the end of October. Yeah, by the end of October, as they promised, that we have looked into, assessed, and the program is going on with the department to look into that. But the long and short of it is that a pillar collapsed. So that process, members, we're hoping that we'll, by the time we meet in the next year, we would give further progress in terms of what we have gone. I would leave it at that with the mining and the Lily Mine issues, just to say it is a difficult matter, not only for the families, for the country as well, because we have never seen something like that before happening in the industry where we are unable to help our own. Whilst we have been the ones who have used our expertise elsewhere to assist others, this one is the most trickiest one, and we're dealing with that. 2017 is going to be a roller coaster year for all of us in terms of at a political and technical level. Basically, we are seeing the mining industries going back to its full production and hoping that the energy issues that they have raised, the water issues, the one-stop environmental matters that they have raised will be addressed beforehand. But also I must say that one program that we keep on putting to the back burner that the chamber has raised in their input is the question of environmental rehabilitation, concurrent rehabilitation, and so on. It's a matter that we have raised to say that let's put it on the agenda for acceleration in 2017 with all the other issues that they have raised. But please understand that this matter comes a very long way. It's not just a matter of trying to say, you know, minimize payment into this. We've got a huge environmental rehabilitation legacy of over 6,000 derelict and ownerless mines that fall onto the lap of the state. So we should ensure that what we leave for the future generations is much better than what we have inherited. So that's a matter that we are going to be looking into. And in terms of stakeholders, and I'm concluding, in terms of stakeholders, over and above communities, we've made a lot of strides about those who have worked in the mines before, the former mine workers, who are getting paid their monies every week from the Department of Health. But it's a matter that we've got to, we're engaging with the mining industry that has been very cooperative in trying to get this program going. So it's going to be accelerated in the coming year to an extent that at least we are dealing with the legacy that has been there for a long time. Lastly, we did meet with the Financial Services Board that is responsible for all the pensions and provident funds that are coming to work together as one system to be able to deal with this old matter of monies that are due to people and families that are still somewhere else. So I want to leave it at that, Chair, so that our DG and the team are able to give you a presentation on Lily Mine, which is a very short presentation because that is what we know. But the answer that we cannot give you today is an answer that says we are able to, that the family is looking for, to say, when are you giving us our families back as the mining industry? And I'm saying this because I don't want to come back to this. I'm encouraged by the signing of the membership compact by the Chamber of Mines in this, in the issue of complying with the laws of the country. And lastly, I must caution that we can't compete in terms of the number of people that are either killed in the mines or killed on the roads. It's an unhealthy competition, but it's important to look into that, because even if the fatalities on the road are higher, we can't feel better as the mining industry, because what we're saying is that those who go into the mines must come back alive. That is our zero harm, zero fatality, zero death message. But also, one thing that we are doing without declaring it publicly is that in the mining sector, we're declaring official statistics of people who die in the mining. But in terms of illegal people, illegal mining people who die there, the numbers are staggering. So it's a matter as a country that we've got to be alert and aware of, and ensure that as we move, we do a lot of housekeeping of all the problems that we have coming into the new year, so that we face the future with much more confidence and our messages become much more robust as a country. I would like to leave it at that, because I think members will want to engage at a later stage on the issues of the charter as well, what is happening. I'm confident that we are able to resolve this, and I hear that the industry says that the last time they met were in July, they got some things in September, and there is a case pending, and so on. My message has always been consistent, that in our law, as it stands, there is no provision, Dr. Chabane, that says, that talks about once empowered, always empowered. I've fortunately been part of those who came to us before 2014 and said, listen, we want Section 11 on this matter. The people are selling, these are buying, but we're saying that we've got a target of 26%. And what is happening, they said, but, 2014 we would have achieved this target. But it's a minority that have not achieved the target. The majority of employers have achieved this target, especially under the Chamber of Mines, even exceeded the target. So it doesn't give us sleepless nights. We know those who entered into some convoluted and difficult agreements with BEEs that were not destined to succeed at all. And they are raising the loudest noise now. But the case is at court. We are trying, we are committed to resolve it out of court, etc., but it's not for the majority of companies that we are talking about here. Transformation in this country shall happen. It's part of our agenda. It's part of our law. And there is no resistance from the mining industries on transformation. It's only a few people who really are not really trying their luck here. And we were informed beforehand that they were going to do this. So we're not surprised. We're not caught by surprise. Going into the future, we've got to do housekeeping, ensure that this industry succeeds, because as a country, we've got what it takes. We've got DG, the most beautiful geology that you can think about in the world, in this country. We are going to be mining for the next 100 years in this country. So it's important that the message that we give to investors, the certainty that is wanted from government, that we deliver that. The type of arrangement, agreements on issues that we don't see eye to eye with, we've got to meet with the chamber and other stakeholders to deal with this matter. We undertook a benchmarking study as a country between three countries, which is South Africa, Australia, Zambia, and some other country that I'm forgetting now that we still have to do, to look into what is the problem. And one of the problems is that South Africa, other countries never had what we have in this country, where a lot of the majority of people were excluded. We are doing a transformation, what we call affirmative action, rechtstellende actie, about people who were neglected before. Other countries did not come out of cheap labor. That is why today we are dealing with this matter of minimum wages and so on and so on. So we've agreed. Even companies that are operating in the South Africa, they are paying people much better outside. We've told them that. To say, why do we give different standards here? So it's not going to be an easy, beautiful, romantic discussion. These are serious matters that need serious discussions, and we are inviting you, Chamber of Mines, to come and discuss this with the ministry so that we resolve it. When we have cleared some of the issues, also engage the labor unions so that going forward we can have proper stability in the country. Thank you very much, Chair, and I think we should give to the DG and team just to give you a preview of these other matters of Liliman. It's a short report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, colleagues who are in attendance today. Good morning once again.
Yes,
yes. Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be doing two presentations as requested by the committee. It will be on the promotion of the mining. Then later on, at a high level, touch on the Lily Mine, the update, just to give the honourable members the update. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister, and the Acting Director General, colleagues, and other participants. I think mine will be very short. The general overview was given by the DM, and so I'll stick to just the mandate that we had received, which is about the messages that we as a department feel that we should be putting forward at the mining endeavor in order to promote investment in the sector. We will take the presentation with just a brief background, and the intention is to carry this as all one message that we can all agree upon, and I think it's very much in consonance with the message that was given by the colleagues before. The background, mining of the African economy, promoting investment in mining, and then a little bit about the investment, investing in African mining in Durba, which we've all shortened to the lovable moniker, Mining Endeavor. And then just a recap again of the key messages that we want to take forward and to keep repeating going forward. As a background, we thought it was important, Chairperson, just to remind us that the department's mandate and what we have agreed as a country we want to do in this space. And so we had been tasked as a department to ensure transformation, economic growth, the health, safety, and sustainability of the minerals and mining sector. This translates into, on the next slide, what is basically our vision statement. This vision statement was endorsed again by stakeholders in 2010 in the declaration and again last year in the PAKISA process, where we said we want to be a globally competitive, sustainable, and meaningfully transformed mining and mineral sector. When we are talking about competitive, we would like to emphasize, as was done by the Honorable Deputy Minister, the issues of our unique geology, our mineralization, being still the richest country with regards to non-petroleum resources in situ. So despite the long history of artisanal and then modern mining, there's still a lot more to go as the interest indicated. Though we are having a very robust infrastructure program, our installed infrastructure is still world-class and highly competitive. compared to other mining jurisdictions in the region and in general. The legal and financial institutions and the efforts that we are putting in place to increase the ease of doing business. In terms of sustainability, we emphasize the issues of environmental management and rehabilitation, the health and safety of workers, as well as the inclusion and ownership buy-in, if you will, of our communities for the operations that they're in. And that is also leading to the transformation, the history that we are, that the DM had touched upon. And here we are also highlighting the need to include women in ownership as well as in operation, historically disadvantaged South Africans, and again, emphasis of benefit and ownership of local communities as well as workers. Just as a highlight, we always do put this forward in terms of the competitiveness of South Africa and where we have come from and where we are going. And I know that there was a reference to different timelines in terms of the GDP and the contribution of mining. But we normally use 1994, 2004 after the promulgation of the MPRDA, and then 2015. And here we're quite proud to note that the economy has been growing, and there are still those challenges that we are working on with stakeholders with regards to the inclusivity, inequality, and unemployment. So this is something that we often share with investors to give them a flavor of a country that's moving forward. We are, of course, a middle-income country, and middle-income countries tend not to grow as fast as those who are coming off of a lower base. So the growth has been going, but we're not seeing sort of the 8% that you would see in your Ethiopias, et cetera, and that's something that we put up front as well. In terms of our mineral endowment, this is something that we don't get tired of sharing in terms of the reserves, our share of global reserves, as well as our rank. These are the numbers as plain as they are. And investors, it's not like in manufacturing, where the same factory can basically be reassembled, disassembled, and moved. You are going to have to go to where the minerals are. Obviously, there will be competition in terms of recycling and alternative inputs, but in terms of these minerals, these are the ones which we see the greatest interest from investors. That's in chrome, where we have 74% of the world's global reserves, and we are ranking first, and in both reserves and in production, 44% of the production. PGMs with 32%, and this is up to closer to 50%, but first in terms of the world's global reserves of that, and as well as manganese. I think there's a small printing error there on my slide for manganese, but that will be corrected and sent through to the secretary. Apologies. So we had also, we've just noted in this slide again that mining is something we take very important. It is central to the economy. It's a pillar of the economy, and it employs roughly 500,000 people directly. And depending on the economist, we in terms of the multiplier, we'd estimate another 1 million altogether indirectly through upstream, downstream, sidestream stimulation of the economy, 8% of the GDP, and this has remained consistent, Chairperson, I think since 2004. That it was then at just under 7%, and it's remained consistent at 8% of the GDP, 10% of our investment, and 30% of our exports. Just on that point, I mean, it can be a little bit misleading to say that the mining GDP has shrunk between 1990. and 2016. And that this is why we've put this slide up as well in terms of its actual revenues, its GDP, and its contribution to investment. 2004, we're seeing about 91 billion in terms of its direct GDP contribution to South African GDP, to 286 billion, still remaining around 8.4. But that's 286 billion of the 3 trillion that we all know. In terms of an investment from 2004, that growing from that 18 billion to about 86 billion last year. And this is what this slide is communicating to us now, is that investment has steadily been growing since 2004. We take the point around the periods of uncertainty where people might have been playing a wait-and-see game while that was being finalized, and as well as you can see some stagnation around 2008 from the global economic crisis, picking up again after 2010 as we saw China coming in big into the minerals game. So this is something that we would want to make it a common message that that we are indeed growing in this industry. Deputy Minister has indicated that we do participate at other events on the globe, and the four key ones that we do try to target, and these are the big four mining investment events. Africa Down Under, which is normally held in September in Perth, as he indicated, but also one of our emerging market giants, China, where we've participated this year as well in the China Mining Congress Expo. It's held anywhere between September and November in Tianjin in China, and of course the Indaba in February and the PDAC in Toronto. What we do there is that we don't go just as the DMR. The Deputy Minister has led delegations to PDAC just passed, as well as Africa Down Under, which is a joint Team South Africa approach, so that we are giving investors almost a one-stop shop for all the questions they may have and all the incentives they may be seeking in terms of enticing them into investing. So that's done with, of course, the DERCO, the Department of Science Technology, the DTI, and the relevant state agencies, including MINTEC and the Council for Geoscience. And we try to promote, again, their expertise and their products as well when we are doing these. So just a quick overview of the approach. I'm just going to bring up all of the bullets for the sake of time management, Chairperson. We say that we've got four key aims of investment promotion and international coordination in these regard, and the one that's missing there is actually embedded in investment facilitation, and it's investment generation. But it's otherwise it's investment generation, facilitation, image building, and policy advocacy. This is how we promote investment in the industry. In terms of our image building, we do work together with other state partners just to work very hard to leverage off of our resources. Resources are scarce, so we can't all of us be promoting South Africa at cross purposes. And so we do try to do SA incorporated or SA team SA mining investment pavilions with our SOEs and those departments which I indicated that we are in partnership with. And there we do also engage in promotional material, understand, and there we are creating the visual image again of a country that's open for business and that is it's not too special for itself, if you will. The next one being policy advocacy, and this is done through the address of the principal, as well as the consistency in themes and messages that are developed, we try to limit the in quotation marks and bureaucratic presentations, and it's more a high level an approach or discussion with the principals, and then we move into more participatory approach. And And there is a small difference between the local and the international conferences, which we'll touch upon. This year, we are moving in a big way, and we've been doing this slowly, but surely to move forward with investment generation and facilitation. And the aim is to be able to identify and to give opportunities for junior miners with mining rights, prospecting rights preferably, and who are looking for investment, so that we can package and promote those as tangible investment projects. So it's not just a stand or just the speech, but we are able to move towards a situation where we said we went to China with a package of 100 million rand of worth of projects, and are following up leads which could lead to half of those deals being closed. I think this is very much in line with the 9-point plan initiative of crowding in private sector investment, as well as with the investors a one-stop shop approach. And as the Deputy Minister had indicated, we always use these opportunities to also promote a joint African development. So we try as much as possible to avoid a situation where we are promoting ourselves at the expense of other African countries, or getting into a race to the bottom by dropping standards for sustainability and transformation in order to be seen as more attractive to investors. The next slide, I'm sure you've had a chance to look at, but we've just noted again that the audience there is also quite important. It's an international audience, people who are interested in African mining in general. We engage with fund managers as well as mining houses, and also our economists get a chance to engage and share notes with other industry specialists, just to check on to the future or our own outlook projections. We just note here for the House, the committee, that 2017, there has been a trend in the mining endeavor, whereby a few years ago, you would recall, there was even presentations being made, keynote addresses being made by people who are not very central to mining. And so they've recognized that there's a need to refocus on investment rather than taking on too much as a conference. And so it's being marketed as the resurgence of the mining endeavor. So this invitation from yourself, Chair, and the committee is very timely, because that's definitely where the event is moving, as to how do we get governments, people with projects and investors into one room, and move towards cutting deals and getting investment moving, rather than discussing in broad general terms, and also to move away from what they were calling sort of an invasion of the suppliers. So investors were seeing more and more supplier companies rather than mining companies or people with projects that are investable. But we did capitalize from that as well in those years, promoting our own South African mining supplier companies. Well, we have also noted our concerns with them on issues of the pricing and the value for money, particularly as the holding company has now been bought by a British firm, and the pricing will be done in British pounds. We have continued to engage with them on a move to get an exception for government participants, and I think that there's some progress in that regard. We also then work to ensure that because of these great hurdles, through the department, we then negotiate and manage the participation of key stakeholders, including the committee, the select committee, and those junior miners. So in terms of the mining investment seminar, I'm going to move to the last bullet and the sub-bullets there associated. Whenever the investment seminar takes place at the Mining Endeavor, we ensure that all of our key stakeholders, from the Chamber of Mines, from the South African Mineral Development Association, which is our Junior Emerging Miners Association, as well as all of our unions, UASA Solidarity, and National Union of Mine Workers, are represented. at the Indaba, and that they join us for what we call a WEF-style discussion. And the intention there is to give real meat to what we always say, that we want to jointly promote the industry. And I think that the colleague was quite right that there are forums that we could be strengthening and using to discuss those issues which we know that we are discussing on a daily basis, so that when we do get there, we are not being seen and being criticized as people who don't seem to have anywhere else they are talking. And the intention is to have a united front to say that growth is good for the workers, it's good for the companies, and it's good for government. I think in the time that you've got the document with you, committee, but these are the issues that commonly come up, and the ones that we also try to promote around the investment incentives, as well as small and medium enterprise development in youth, as well as women in mining. But those other issues are often raised by our stakeholders, as well as raised as questions. So in terms of that messaging, we want to re-emphasize that we've got a constitution that protects your security of tenure, a stable and a vibrant democracy, independent judiciary, the world-class economic and telecommunications infrastructure, the great geology, and a stable and predictable mining code that respects the security of tenure. We also note again that this next slide represents the agreements that we had made in 2010, as well as then reinforced last year at the PAKISA and through our framework agreement, to say that in order to promote investment in the sector, these were the things that we had committed to doing: easing the regulatory constraints, issues of the gaps in definitions and interpretations of the MPRDA were identified, as well as the delays caused by having a fragmented licensing system. So there's the work of amended MPRDA is also going to support a integrated mining licensing, the integrated mining license system, and one environmental system, the continued strengthening of the SAMRAD online application system, the beneficiation and promotion of opportunities downstream. This is also, again, to create a market and to increase demand for the goods that our industry creates. And just to increase exploration or investment in exploration, we actually recently hosted here in Cape Town the International Geological Congress, which was hugely successful despite the fears over Ebola and the commodity prices. And so there again, we are maintaining the commitment to the implementation of those agreements, and of course the issues of skills and infrastructure, which I will not go into. In terms of promoting the opportunities in mining, we would request that we put it in three broad fields, and to put more emphasis on the greenfield investment. So the IGC was part of the efforts to encourage more investment in prospecting in South Africa, as an exploration, but we also promote brownfield investment in terms of existing mines that seek expansion, and then obviously the mineral processing and beneficiation opportunities. On the One Environmental System, it's been launched and it was recognized by the colleague, but we also want to note that it's not just on paper, it's being implemented, and over 120 applications have already been spared the challenge of having to go to three different bureaucratic centres, if you will, in terms of water use licence, environmental affairs, for the environmental management authorization, and the Department of Mineral Resources now being the single window. Investors A, I think that there's this is one of the key things that we could be really proud of. There are two projects that were highlighted for special attention in the top 40, but this is one of those things that, that does give investors great comfort to see that that government is moving towards a place where we're not just integrating the mining use licenses, but that they will have a single stop as an investor across the board. And this is something that we emphasize in our key messaging. And, of course, the efforts in terms of the special economic zones with highly competitive incentives as well as funding mechanisms and infrastructure support as well as skills and supplier development support that they have put in place. The latest one of these is the Messina Metallurgical SEZ. And so this is one of the key messages that we would want to put across at the Indaba. So again, just to start from our vision statement, we say that and have agreed that you cannot delink the transformation from the sustainability and the growth. And it gives investors greater comfort if they know that the country that they're in, the people that they're in, the workers that they're in, love and appreciate their operations rather than see them as a competitor or as an oppressive force. So we had agreed already with our stakeholders to say this industry's transformation is imperative for its growth and its sustainability going forward. And sustainability in itself is imperative for growth. And so these three things are not interlinked, but there is, of course, a little bit of a balancing and careful strategic work that needs to be done in that regard. Our rich endowment, that mining is important to government and it's a key priority, it's a key driver of our growth, and that it's not growth for growth's sake, it's growth for development, the betterment of people's lives, job creation and poverty alleviation, and that we're working continuously to ensure a responsive, efficient and integrated regulatory framework, and that infrastructure investment continues to support the growth of the sector and be responsive and is a high priority as led by the presidency. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, I don't know, should we continue with the other one, the lady mine? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Mbonambi.
Okay, all right. No, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, DM. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues. As the DM has touched in detail about the tragedy at Lily Mine, I will just take the honorable members on the slides that we have presented for information on what has happened since the tragedy. The first slide just touch on the presentation outlines, which I'm not going to go into detail. The next slide, it's about the brief description of a mine, which is in Barberton area, a vintage gold field. And it, at the time before the accident, it employed over 600 employees, and it began as an open pit in 2000 and later developed into a shallow underground operation. Next slide. This slide is the particulars of the mine workers that are still trapped, which is Mr. Solomon Nyirende, Ms. Yvonne Mnisi, and Pritin Kambule, and all who were working in a lamp room, which was sunk into a collapse. The next slide talk to what caused the tragedy. We all by now know that the tragedy was caused by the failure of the crown pillar, which led to a container that was used as a lamp room to be sunk into underground, and there were three employees who were inside, and it is alleged that the container sunk following the crown pillar failure, and the inspectors immediately dispatched to the mine, and the rescue operation began. And it is important to note that at the time of the accident, there were other 75 employees who were underground, and all these employees were evacuated safely through the ventilation shaft. Immediately thereafter, the rescue operations commenced. The minister was on the site on the same day. He engaged with the families, organized labor and the mine management on an accident, and attempts to recover the container continued from the 5th of February up to the 13th of February, when the second collapse occurred, resulting in a decision to suspend the rescue operation in the interest of safety. And further collapse also happened on Sunday, and the decision was then taken that a second outlet needed to be drilled before anything could be done. And the drilling of that second outlet by the mine rescue began on the 23rd, and it was completed on the 28th of February. And continuing on the rescue operation, on the 1st of March, the two teams went underground to assess the conditions. And then upon return, they came back with the report that the conditions have deteriorated, as the deputy minister has indicated, and it would be unsafe to send any rescue team underground. This then led to the mine management requesting to be given a 6 month period to develop a new decline shaft, and also began with the funding attempts to raise funding of that project. It is important that it is important to mention that the accident caused the production at the mine to stop, and it has remained in operative since then. This also resulted in a mining company being placed under business rescue in terms of the Chapter 6 of the Companies Act, and the business rescue practitioner was appointed, and a number of things has happened by the business rescue trying to raise funding of the project to open a new decline. And I think at around the 27th of May, there were announcements that the deal had been signed between the company and the funder, which is African, to provide funds for developing of a decline. And again on the 31st of May, a further announcement was made that a new decline will commence in June. And the deal, unfortunately, fell flat when African did not come to the party, and it never materialized. And the government interventions since the tragedy, the president appointed the interministerial committee of three ministers, as the deputy minister has indicated, which led to the formation of the joint operating committee consisting of the representatives of the above mentioned ministries, to deal with the short, medium, and long-term strategies on dealing with the issues at Lily Mine. The Joint Operating Committee is led by Social Development, and the aim of the committee is to provide assistance to immediate families, mine workers, and affected communities in the form of counseling at the time when the accident immediately happened, and there were shelter that was also provided for those who families who were at the mine, and the food parcel, because the workers were not paid their salaries since April. That's how the Joint Operating Committee. Further to that, I think after 6 months, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, the TMR also came into the party, because the 6 months has elapsed, and the Deputy Minister visited the mine with the management on the 15th of September. A follow-up meeting was on the 7th of October, with an aim to give the families feedback on the stability of the surface. and the department has also facilitated several discussions between the mining company and IDC to fast-track funding matters of the new decline. The company and the business rescue indicated that the compensation of the families and workers that were trapped will occur once the funding to complete the project has been raised. And the practitioner has announced that a funder was identified and they were about to finalize the deal, but that has not yet materialized. And the recovery of the container, it has been indicated that the project for retrieving the container will commence once the access decline shaft has been completed and access to the shaft area is safe. This exercise will be conducted prior to opening a mine. And the Department of Social Welfare is actively engaging with the families of the trapped miners, and the process is ongoing. The department, the business rescue practitioner, and the union representatives continue meeting the families and updating them on the efforts to raise funding for a new decline shaft. The mine company continues paying the salaries of the trapped miners of each individual family every month as a show of support. As I've indicated, that the mine used to employ about 600 mine employees. Due to this tragedy, mine employees were then at a later stage offered a severance package, and most of them opted for this option, and their unions had sanctioned this process because of the challenges that were experienced by the workers having not been paid their salaries since April. And all mine workers that had accepted the packages, the employer committed that they will be re-employed on the same matters and conditions as they were previously employed as soon as the funding is obtained. And approximately a number of employees have resigned, and some have been deployed to the sister mine called Babrook. And it has been indicated that once the funding has been established, a new decline will commence, and this will employ the balance of the employees. In conclusion, Chair, the department is greatly concerned about the prolonged business rescue process and its continued impact to the affected families of the trapped mine workers. This matter is being considered in collaboration with other stakeholders like IDC and unions. The department has commenced with an accident investigation into the underlying causes of the accident. The accident investigation will then be converted into a full inquiry in terms of Section 66 of the Mine Health and Safety Act to determine as to what was supposed to have been in place and was not in place. And the Joint Operating Committee will continue to assist and support the three families of the trapped mine workers. And as has been indicated by the Deputy Minister, that the department is continuously engaging with the relevant parties for the sustainable way forward on this matter in order to make sure that the families get the closure and the department finalizes its investigation into the cause of the accident. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think in closing as well, for us to reemphasize the importance of us continuously working together with the stakeholders on the challenges that have been outlined, both on the sustainability of the sector, the growth and investment into the sector. We'd like to also add to the fact that I think since the beginning of the year, we already had 8 meetings with the chamber specifically on various issues. And we've also arranged a meeting about 3 weeks ago to finalize on the matters that have been highlighted here, and it has been cancelled. And we'll arrange another meeting to deal with it. But we are also engaging with other stakeholders, about 60 stakeholders, that we are working together on the issues that have been raised by the department during the presentation at the PPC. And lastly, honourable members and DM, I think for us it's very important that we continuously work together on the matter of health and safety. About more than 80% of fatalities and accidents reported in the sector are reported by the chamber of mine's members, and it's important that we continuously work together with them on this particular matter. And we are greatly concerned with the fact that most of these accidents are repeats, including the health-related related matters. We engage with the CEOs and the chamber on this matter, and also through the Minor Health and Safety Council. But the collaborative effort, as has been also highlighted by the Deputy Minister, is very for us. It's very important, including through the Minor Health and Safety Tripartite Summit that we have recently held. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Member.
Okay, you know, when you are a township boy, those who smoke, they can no smoke. Don't ask what. Those who smoke, when they scave, yeah. So there is something that is a principle, because there can be even death out of it. They say when someone gives you his cave, even if it's finished, give it back to that person to be the one who destroys it. A cigarette, not other thing. So that's why I must, as a person who first started, I must wait for you to say you are finished. Then I can come in.
We give this gift to the members of the portfolio committee also to smoke.
I didn't know that there are people who are directly affected by what I was making as a figurative matter. But it's okay. Sometimes talking the truth can make you a victim. Honorable members, let's start first with the presentations that we received from the chamber. I would have loved, but I can't limit honorable members, to specifically focus on the key issue, on the objectives and expectations in relation to the upcoming mining indaba, as to what extent can we collectively make sure that it doesn't just become a success, but there is legacy on what is achieved. And let me say this up front, why I'm doing so. I would avoid a situation where we then discuss issues that are multi-stakeholder as if they are bi-stakeholder. There could be issues that cut across that affect other stakeholders that are not necessarily here, and they will ask the question, how did you choose especially one out of many? I'll be upfront, there might be issues that even they don't only take responsibility through the chamber. There could be other stakeholders in terms of the business activities. You'll have labor who may raise issues. Why are you dealing with issues without making due consideration for us? So the reason we invited the Chamber of Mines was because it's quite central in the organization of the mining endeavor. We cannot deny that. Yes, there are other participants beyond, but I think the actual people who are central is the Chamber of Mines, which can be able to give us more insight on what is contained there. Two is the Department of Mineral Resources. I don't know what would be the conclusion, having had the objectives, the main purpose, focus, and messaging, what then would be the final view of the committee. Let me say this, the DM. Maybe down the line on this one, when we deal with it off the Lily Mine, It's just my personal expression. Maybe members, when they will deal with it. I hate to read something that may not be necessarily what is contained here. There are three workers that are underground. It's almost going to be a year now. With due respect, Babumbonam. Somewhere, I know there is no report yet. But somewhere, it's with due respect, and when I read, there seems to be equal. Let me be honest. Equal partners. I'm not saying people must be treated with suspicion, but there's nothing wrong to treat someone with suspicion. But the manner in which the pace to me when I listen in the presentations, it seems like there is no potential culprit. Even the one who should be able to account has got all the leisure to decide at what time I do what, at what time I cannot do what. And if that were to be the trend, I'm sure the Chamber of Mines will stand up tomorrow and say, why it seems as if we are not treated equally. Forget about the examples that they made about public transport or road fatalities. Just within their industry. If that were going to be the trend when, say, a disaster of this nature happens, surely then we shouldn't be... So I'm saying that investigation seems to me going on par as if no one finally must take responsibility with the pace. But I think I will go and elaborate more when we deal with the Lily Mine issue. Honorable members, the matter on the presentations on the mining in Daba. Any take, any questions? Yes, we'll come back to the Lily Mine. Yes. On what? Which are? The Chamber of Mines and the Department of Mineral Resources made separate presentations on the mining in Daba. So if you want to ask to the Chamber of Mines on the mining in Daba, you will ask to the Chamber of Mines on the mining in Daba. If it's to the department, you will ask to the department. If you want to ask both, you are allowed to do so. The item is mining in Daba. Investment promotion. So they couldn't present together. Otherwise, we could have allowed them to make a joint presentation. But we didn't want to collapse the department to the Chamber of Mines, nor the Chamber of Mines be collapsed to the... You know, when people make presentations on something and then one presents and then the other one says, no, we didn't agree with that thing, but it's already a joint presentation. So when they make a joint presentation, they will have to agree on what they are presenting. Okay, then we'll come back later on the issue of the Lily Mine. Babu Chaban, the only thing you'll be a victim of is to accept that there is a different model when we deal with questions. Né? At least the DM and his team has got this privilege of being here, so they know what's happening. So you will just take questions, and I will determine whether you must answer or stop others, because there will be many that are being asked and allow you to respond to them. But we don't respond on each and every question as it is being asked. So it actually means I could see the skill of writing is something that is embedded in you. So you'll apply it. Honorable Schmidt, you know, there's something interesting. I must say it again. I won't mention this man. Once came in one of our meetings, by the time he came in, the discussion was on because he's here in Parliament with us. So when he came in, his hand was already up. then we thought he was going to speak on the item, and then he said, no, there's only one person who'll speak here. I won't say because you will suspect today is on the other side. Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Lorima, Any other hand? Honorable Mafolo? Okay. There are other people who live on follow-ups. Honorable Schmidt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had the opportunity of reading these documents beforehand yesterday, so it's called reading, Mr. Chair. But can I start off with the DMR's presentation? The slide which you have on the South African economy, it's not numbered, but you have the different figures of the GDP. On the face of it, there's an incremental amount while it goes up quite clearly. Is that in nominal terms or real terms? Because there's a difference between what I earn now and what I earned 30 years ago. And the question is, have I, in real terms, increased my salary, or is it just with inflation? So that's a very important issue there to my mind. The next page deals with South Africa's mineral endowment. We can have all the figures in the world. We can have number one spots on all those production global rank. But we need to determine why we slipped from number one 10 years ago to number six, or round about there. I'm not sure. That's the last time I checked. So it's good comparing ourselves to ourselves, but we need to compare ourselves with other mining jurisdictions. And I don't see that. That's where my problem lies. So my concern is basically that these figures, on the face of it, I mean, production number one, if I only look at it, coal number seven, but it doesn't say from 2006 we were number one producer in gold and overall, but we're now number six. That's not reached. That's not even dealt with. It's not even highlighted. So it's not a fair picture. The and why I say so is the following. If you look at the first page, some of us have been in this committee a while back. You will see that those figures here, direct employment, 20 years or 15 years ago, it was 800,000, if not a million. I'm giving rough estimates. The contribution to GDP was at least double that amount. The contribution to investment, I don't have the figures, I must be honest. The contribution to exports was 50 to 60%. The question is why? There may be a very good economical reason. There may be that we've taken off on a manufacturing, or whatever the fact may be. But juxtaposed to mining, there needs to be an explanation. That's the issues. There's one more issue to the DMR. This slide on the Indaba investment seminar indicates, in my view, how the DMR and the Chamber of Mines totally argue, view issues totally from a different perspective. If you look at that issue concerning key issues and frequently asked questions fall into following themes: competitiveness, mining charter and transformation, MPRDA amendment, more beneficiation, labor, innovation. If you were to take the Chamber of Mines presentation and you see what the Chamber of Mines have to say about those issues, which DMR lists but doesn't discuss. Look, just look at it. Youth, innovation and R&D. It's important for us to know what DMR's view is on innovation and R&D, which 2 weeks ago or a week ago was close to very little, because therefore we have the 1% contribution, additional contribution to mining companies for the research and development, the MTDS, I think it's called now. The labor. No one talks about the labor unrest or the potential labor unrest. No one talks about the beneficiation, which is not even in the mining industry's sphere, core business. The DMR goes and says, we've got special economic zones. That is good. But if I understand it correctly, and that's a perception which I need to be corrected, if it stands to be corrected, is beneficiation is in a manufacturing sector, predominantly. I'm not saying only. But it falls outside the field of the mining industry as a producer of gold and manganese and iron ore. It's the last phase. So it doesn't really benefit the mining industry. That's not going to create a viable mining industry on its own looking at the mining industry, if you follow what I'm saying. If you look at the DMR, this Chamber of Mines presentation, if I could start from there. Challenging times, the slide is called. What is DMR's views to the Chamber of Mines' views about unsustainable cost increases? Because we need to understand, it's two totally different issues, lines of what is favorable and what's unfavorable. Unsustainable cost increases, infrastructure challenges, workplace challenges, increasing expectations and demands. What is DMR or government doing about these issues if we want to have the mining industry a flourishing industry? Because it doesn't help we speak too past one another and not resolve or say, listen, this is way of line, this is out of my pay grade, it's above my pay grade with somebody with the mining industry, I'm not worth economic development or whatever the fact may be. But we need a congruence of these issues. The domestic cost pressures, electricity prices tripled in 7 years. It's a cost factor. Wages up more than 10% per annum. Stores and materials up more than 10%. These are real issues to real mining companies, not sitting in ivory towers trying to determine policy. So we need the ivory policy, the ivory towers, views to these issues listed. Platinum output per employee down 49%. Why? Real labor costs up 309%. Liability to increase, inability to increase shifts per annum. Why? Look at the next page. Leaders' declaration to save jobs. All these issues, as far as I recall, in rough, in broad speaking terms, are to deal with labor. Now, we all have an affinity to labor not losing their jobs. But there's a opposing side to the coin, and that's to keep mining industry viable, sustainable, and growing. And none of those issues, or most of those issues, are dealt with in the mining declaration, in the leaders' declaration. So how can you only take the side of the labor as a Department of Minerals and Energy, but not look at the economic and the real impacts of the economy and issues dealing with the mining industry? How is that possible? How does a DMR, as a supposedly objective institution, deal with only issues that are more of a political nature? And that is labor. Because if labor falls, of course, every government is in trouble when labor figures drop. That's all understood all over the world. But why doesn't the DMR look at all the other issues which affect the mining industry? There may be, but I don't see it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Honorable Lorima, but let me say this, Honorable Member, so that when we deal with those issues, because labor is not here, that's the disadvantage to respond to itself. But I'll leave it when members can raise them, because some of the issues are directly a relationship and a contribution that labor had made themselves. And to them, it's what they would have accrued in order to be able to sell to their members. I hope we will not disadvantage them by their non-participation in this activity, and I would have explained why they are not part of this activity. But the department and the Chamber of Mines will respond. I always want to be consistent to clarify that issue so that we're not misinterpreted to have sidelined others and then try to give others an advantage on issues that would have been a collective product. Between, at times, it could be matters between the employer in the context of the employer body and even one labor union, not many, sometimes many. But I just want to clarify that issue so that we don't get, at some point we invited stakeholders and I received something to say, what criteria did you use? And I had to explain that we're only dealing with those that are directly in the participated activities in the industry. But it was a long issue, and it's not that people were satisfied with it. Honorable Lorim?
Two issues for Mr. Chabana. In the Chamber of Mines presentation, I'd just like to know a bit more about the point that your presentation made about the inability to increase shifts per annum. What's the stumbling block here? And are people still trying to solve that one? The second issue there is, I'd like to know how much of a problem is this double funding for rehabilitation? Are the current constraints preventing rehabilitation from happening? Now, nobody believes more than I in the potential of mining to lift this economy. And I am very cognizant of the efforts that are being made to promote South African mining. I see a lot of enthusiasm there. But unfortunately, when you try to sell a product that is not worth selling, it's going to be very difficult. And I can only wish the DMR team good luck, because they're going to need it. I hear a kind of alternate reality when I come to this committee. We're told all these sweet things which really are divergent from what's actually happening out there, because there's a credibility problem. Deputy Minister, you've told us, oh, well, when people want to come and invest here, they must realize that we have a history, we have different conditions, and people must just get used to it. Well, that message seems to me to be saying to people, well, come and invest here so we can blame you for our history and then we'll take your money. How many investors do you think you're going to get with that? I'll tell you this for free, none. How credible is your investment message when it happens against a background of this government pushing through a mining charter without consultation, as has happened in the last two versions of the charter? And I do take issue, too, with the DMR coming to us and saying, no, no, that's fine. We're talking to the chamber. They present on the mining charter. Now we're going to reach an agreement. Then we hear from the chamber that the last substantive meeting was in July. And this chamber, this charter looks like it's going through without any consultation. I don't appreciate coming to this committee and being told whitewashed stories. How credible is our department when, in a similar fashion, it assures this committee, no, we're dealing with Section 54. We're being much more careful about applying Section 54 and how we apply it. Just weeks later, we get the court judgment, AngloGold's Kopanang mine, where the magistrate says, or the judge says, if they had applied for an offer for an order of personal costs against the mining inspector, he would have considered it. That's how badly the regulation was applied. Listen to the department. No, it sounds fine. Everything's sweet. How credible is our mining jurisdiction when the security of tenure allows things to happen like the Aquila case? To refresh your memory, a then Australian, now Chinese-owned firm spends something like 450 million rand proving a manganese resource in the Northern Cape. Great, they've got the manganese, they're ready to invest. Big investment, billions. They go and they ask for a mining right. No, says the department, that prospecting right has also been given to this state-owned mining company. Nobody really knows what it's for. Now that's in court. Credible? I don't think so. How credible is our mining jurisdiction when one of the biggest labor unions, the NUM, says on its website that a major mining company is guilty of genocide against its own workers? What foreign investor wants to come here and have to deal with that? Tell you again, nobody. I don't even know whether you're going to answer any of that. I'm sure that you will give me pleasant answers again. But you know what? There's a credibility problem. And it's not just here. It's with every miner who comes along. Why do you think that the Cape Town mining in Durban is failing? Two reasons are here. One is cost, absurdly expensive. Two is nobody tells the real honest truth at this mining indaba. Everybody comes here, oh yes, that's wonderful, we've got this in South Africa, we've got that in South Africa. You know what the mining companies do? They go away and say, that's not true. Nobody tells the truth. That's why the money's not coming.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. My first question was asked by Honorable Smith on that issue of we were number one, now we are on number six. Just want to know, is there any measures in place to make sure that we go back to that, even if we are not getting to number one, at least maybe two or three? And then, hey, man, order. Thank you, Chair. And then I want to ask Chamber of Mines this question about their membership. Is it possible for us to get the mines that are your members, or is it confidential? And then the other issue, you talked about the mining charter. Were you not included during the discussions, or is it your recommendations that you made didn't include it? And how often do you were your meetings with the department? Mining in the asking the department, do you really implement the decisions or recommendations taken at the Indaba? And then how far are you? Because when we attended the mining Indaba, was it 2016 or when? There was a suggestion that how do we make sure that all miners are equal? You don't see the other miners doesn't see the others as a better person. Thank you.
You know, when you say this, you remind me. you nearly shocked me, DM, because at some point when you talked about beauty, you started by saying a beauty, Mr. Msiza. No, then when you said Mr. Msiza, I said to you, the DM now says beauty out of Mr. Msiza. And then you finished, you went and stopped, and then you finished to say, knows of our geological outlook.
Awesome.
So, this beauty. Babu Chaban.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thank you to the Honorable Members for the questions. if I may start by maybe an easier answer to some of the more difficult ones. But firstly, if I may just do it in this order to Honorable Lorimer, the two questions about the inability to increase shifts and the double funding and some of the constraints. If I may rather submit written answers to that portfolio committee, please. I think it's something that those that are certainly a lot more knowledgeable on this can give a better answer, really. So we commit to do that in writing. That's okay with the chair. Okay, if I can go back now to some of the other issues. Chair, in no particular order, the issue of the... I think Honourable Rorima also asked about the consultation relating to the mining charter, and I think Honourable Member Muffel also asked that question, if I can deal with that. What I tried to do was sketch the process that was undertaken in terms of the mining in charter. There were essentially, and please I do call on our colleagues at the regulator to please just confirm this or not, because there were essentially two streams. The one was relating to the ownership. Now, remember when, we started the declaratory order process with the agreement of the DMR at the time. Honourable Minister Ramaswamy. Things did certainly change from that point of view, but we proceeded with the declaratory order.
And it was put in abeyance so that negotiations could take place on that ownership issue. Now, many, many meetings took place on this ownership issue. I don't have the numbers, but certainly 8 or so meetings. There were lots of meetings on the ownership issue. We don't dispute that. On this ownership issue, the last meeting of the principals was in July of this year. And then there was certainly some information given in September, I think, to the regulator by the DMR. But the last meeting on this issue was in July. Those that the way this one, we called this ownership one the 10 aside, because it was a group of 10 or so industry members made up of some CEOs engaging with a team led by the minister. Okay, so that was the one stream. The other stream related to the other elements of the charter, employment equity, procurement, skills development, all the other elements of the charter. This was the second stream. Now, we're not saying that we were not consulted at all. That is incorrect. The industry was consulted. We had 2 meetings with the regulator on here. We made our submission and were granted essentially 2 opportunities to engage further with the DMR on this issue. It is relating to this, the mining charter, the main elements of the mining charter, that we are saying we should have had further engagement. Because this is a critical document that the industry has to implement. So I just hope now I've clarified that, and please, I do call on my colleagues from the DMR to really say as to whether that is their understanding or not. I think that otherwise there's a bit of confusion there. The membership of the chamber. I can send you send the portfolio committee a list of the chamber members, if that is okay. I can't rattle them off by heart, but I can certainly just send that. It's certainly not a secret, and I can send that list of the full list to the portfolio committee. Chair, if I can just go back to 2 issues that was raised earlier that are important. If I may, I think what we'll also maybe do, Chair, to the extent that it's felt that the information that we gave about the shrinking mining GDP, that information is misleading, if I may please rather also send a motivation to this portfolio committee, if that is okay. I think in the DMR presentation, there was the view that our statement relating to mining GDP shrinking was misleading. If it's okay with the chair, I'd love to put that in writing. And then also just in response also to some of the issues that have been raised on the fatalities side, please, honourable members, me comparisons with the transport sector. What I'm really just saying is, in my view, a life is a life. Whether it's in the mining sector, construction sector, whether it's a farm worker, or whether it's a transport worker, the mining sector collates this information and publishes it. Those other sectors don't. I'm not saying a mining life is less important. Please, don't get me wrong. And it's important that we continue the work in the mining sector. I'm just saying that in a country like South Africa, where certainly we've looked at the stats relating to transport workers, they are very, you know, the fatality stats are much higher in terms of the comparison. But I'm just saying it's important to be able to compare other sectors of the economy and not just look at mining in isolation. So that's essentially what I'm trying to say. But please, I don't want to be detracting from the work that is continuing in the mining sector. Honourable Chair, I think that I've addressed all the questions. if I haven't pleased you.
Thank you very much. You see, let's start here. We've got a constitution and the law that says that the mineral resources of this country belong to its citizens. And it was done in a way that says we must be responsible when we do that. And also, we also know that we come from a very begrudging history where these things belonged to the companies and they could do everything that they want. Now, the resistance started from there. So our transformation effort has not been easy from that point on. Now, as a government, a democratic government, we've got a responsibility to, first of all, the people of South Africa. And the rest come here voluntarily and to come and do business with us. And they invest and we respect and value that investment. But who are the stakeholders here in South Africa in mining? First of all, the people who are having the responsibility of regulating this industry is the government. And the DMR is given that responsibility in terms of the law. Secondly, it's industry, who are both investors and players. Thirdly, is the labor, that are actual players who do the production. And thirdly, the communities who are affected by mining. So we understand that thing very well, and we've got to respect all this. And as we know, the stronger partners here have always been government and industry, to the extent that sometimes we don't invite even labor communities when we've got these who are stakeholders, but we understand that all of us claim to be speaking on their behalf and representing the best interest of those stakeholders. That's just the point I want to make. And having said that, we as the public representatives really have the obligation and the responsibility to understand this industry very well and start reading from the first page and understand what we're differing on, because we are different political parties, we've got different stakeholders and constituencies that we're representing, but at the end, we've sworn allegiance to the Constitution and the law. So we don't have this laissez-faire thing of just saying things without really considering them. We've got a responsibility to say the facts as they are. Now, there are issues that are very contentious between labor and industry, and also that we engage between ourselves and labor as government and ourselves and the industry from time to time. I want us at some point to go, and I won't get into it now, to the stakeholders' declaration. It's not about labor only. It covers the issues of productivity and other issues that the mining industries have raised. We've got to go back there and look into the actual ones, because it was signed on the basis that it was balanced, but those negotiations were never easy. But we also understand that our strength is from those negotiations where we discuss issues and come with issues that we're compromising on, both parties. I said in the beginning that when I've listened carefully to the presentation by the Chamber of Mines, that it's important that we engage on the issues, even after this meeting, because clearly we have the MIGDET process, we've got bilaterals. There are issues that they are raised that are very fundamental that we've got to deal with. The question of electricity wages and the platinum issues that we are raising, the unsustainable costs and so on, those are real issues in the mining industry. You know what? This industry has been around for many years, and it has kept the economy going for many years. And just the short question to your real and nominal GDP, it's real GDP. It has been going on like that. The average has been 8% for many years. So, and if you take the others in terms of export and so on, that's another matter that we can really come back to give a bit of more statistics. Now, you're raising a very important issue of the last 20 years decline. In fact, not the last 20 years. The decline happened
in the 80s. You see, there was this thing called the gold incentive scheme, where government were giving even marginal mines incentives to create jobs. That was scrapped many years ago. And that 800 bar to 600,000, at that time, you must just check the graph, etc. It has been hovering between 400 and 600, just over 500,000 and so on. Now it's 460, whatever it is. But that's the reality of the industry. It has happened like that. And we've got to do, and we know that unemployment in this country is a real problem. It's not a problem of the new government or whatever, government this. It's got to do with the structure of this economy. And the structure of the South African economy is an economy that is moving from pit to pot. We take the dust and everything else, ship out of the country, and create jobs elsewhere. The beneficiation story is not the mining issues, but mining sells these commodities to be beneficiated. That's what the reality is. Now, what we are saying in this country is that we must also add value to our minerals here. That's all we are saying. And that is the issue. It's not a new issue. It's an issue that say it's actually a program of this whole continent to say that we cannot continue to be exploited like this, where we just take out the country and sell to everybody else, and we buy beneficiated material very expensively. We're not putting an obligation on the mining industry to do beneficiation. We are saying they must make the product available for local companies to beneficiate. And an example that has worked and that we can actually, in terms of law, but in practice it's another thing, is on the diamonds. Every diamond-producing country, this company gives 10% to the state diamond trader for local beneficiation. That's what the law says. But whatever happens in the state mining trader, it's another matter that I think we should be able to look into. But even as we speak, there are companies that are making products available for beneficiation at very good incentives, voluntarily, without a law. But you see, if we want to put systems in place, you must put uniform systems. It can't be voluntary that you do this. Then you don't have proper application of the systems in law. That's why in terms of the beneficiation program, that is in terms of the law, I think it's section 26, that's what we're talking about, of the MPRDA. So I'm just saying to you, Mr. Smith, that the issues that we are talking about are real issues and we need to engage on them. It's not a matter of just brushing them over. South Africa has got a good story to tell. In terms of our mineral endowment, it's not something that we are winking, doubtful, uncertain. We know that we've got the best geology. I always say, but in a joking fashion, but seriously, that investors don't come to South Africa for mining for religious reasons. They come here because we've got the best geology. They come here because they can make money. That's why they are clamoring for certainty and all that, which, of course, they must get. We agree. You see? But we say there must be rules. It can't be. We come from rules that were not favoring the people of South Africa. We've got to change them. That's what transformation is all about. That's what the mining charter is all about. So we can't be vacillating when it comes to those issues. Let me make this point very clear. We have consulted extensively with the industry on these matters, including the charter. There are issues that where we don't agree. And I think that's the point. Now, Mr. Lorimar, to say we're not consulting and so on, I'm glad that the Chamber of Mines is telling you that we're consulting. Maybe there are people that feel unconsulted. We deal with that. But we're not going to co-govern in this country with the Chamber of Mines. They are not voted to run this country. We make the laws in this parliament together with you. We've got the responsibility to ensure that parliament has got the laws. We've passed the bill on the MPRDA in terms of what was sent from the president. It's in the NCOP. We've committed that before the end of the year. We would have done that matter. I'm glad that we've made the progress in terms of that, and the chamber and the mining industry are glad that at least we are able to do that. When we go to this in Durban, we are going to be able to say it was done. There are things that we've got to do going forward that was requested But that was not what the president asked us to do. The issues of maybe that was requested separation and other matters and so on that have been raised in the broader scheme of things. Those matters, as Parliament, will have to return to without pressure, with proper consultation. You will recall that the Constitution provides that if the President sends something to Parliament, you only deal with the issues that are raised in the President's reservations. You can't go beyond that. So that's where the limitation is in terms of the law. We've got to respect the Constitution and the law and do the things accordingly. South Africa has got the best security of tenure, where we give you certainty to say that if you've got a mining right, you can have it up to 30 years, and it's renewable. Many jurisdictions don't do that. Now, Aquila case, fortunately, I've been involved in the Aquila case. Aquila matter came before we had the SAMRAT system, where people could do manual things. Later on, after there was the double granting of the prospecting permit, the prospecting right. Now, the double granting dictated that here we've got your prospecting and you've started doing the work. But here is another challenge from the PMDC that says this matter was granted to us as well. We tried extensively to bring the parties together because there was scope for collaboration and cooperation. But because at the time Aquila was still owned by the Australians, they says this PMDC has got Zimbabwean people inside. We've got nothing to do with Zimbabwe. We're not going to cooperate with you. So it was a political matter. It's in the daily execution of our duties. When there is a dispute, we bring the parties together to try and resolve it, and we've got a high success rate in that. This one was beyond just administration. It was political. And then the matter went to court. We couldn't do anything. Either way, Aquila was going to take us to court, or this PMDC was going to take us to court. So because we're in a dilemma, we said, let whatever the courts decide on this matter, we shall agree. Because we are guilty, both sides. It was our fault for double granting. The matter is at court. Fortunately, Aquila was bought by BioSteel, which is a Chinese company. Much more flexible, much more responsive. At the time when we met them and things have changed, they said the matter is at court. If we can find an out-of-court settlement, we'll do that. But if we can't, let it proceed to court. We allow those matters to go. So there is no lack of security of tenure. When you are given the mining right, it's yours for 30 years, guaranteed by the law. So let's not just cherry-pick issues where there are problems and think is the rule. This one was an exception, sir. The question about the NUM and genocide and so on, I haven't seen it, I can't comment on it, but we might at some stage maybe ask the NUM to come and give their account of what they are saying. No problem. That's something that you might want to do. But you see, our life is not just about foreign investors, sir. We've got people who die in this country because of reckless mining sometimes. Where people die because of irresponsible mining. So we can't just say, when we say what we feel, the investors are going to run away. Let me tell you, investors are here in South Africa. I don't know which ones you're talking about. We've got close to 1,600 mines and quarries in this country operating as we speak, mining 53 commodities. So they are here. These people sitting next to me, the Chamber of Mines, are serious investors. We've got investors from China, we've got investors from India, we've got investors from Australia, we've got investors from Canada. And we meet them all the time to discuss issues that they are worried about. The things that we are talking about, all these international promotions that we're doing, we give them the real story about South Africa. And to me, I must say, they feel much more positive about South Africa than what I hear sometimes South Africans bad-mouth in their own country. That is the thing that will work well. It's okay. If it's, we face the facts tell you that since 2004 to 2014, we've doubled the number of mining in this country. Employment has actually improved to the level that talks about quality employment. Not just where you hire and fire like it used to be done under cheap labor. The things have changed. The mining charter have said you actually provide decent accommodation. If you go across this country, you see the mining areas, the situation has changed for the better. I go all the time to mining companies to see how workers live much better than what was done before the transformation period and so on. So, sir, you must give me the list of investors that you're talking about that will never come here. Also, we don't want fly-by-night here in South Africa yet. Fly-by-night investors, they can keep their money. Those who come here just speculatively, mining is a serious patient investment industry. Patient money. You spend money before you make money. But if you think you can just here and fly by night, make money, fly, no, we're not interested. We want serious investors in this country, and we have some of them that we've got to protect their interests, and ensure that they succeed. Our responsibility in this country is to ensure that the mining industry succeeds. That's why we are going to cooperate with them from time to time. Cape Town Mining in Durban, to us it's a success story, sir. The numbers have changed, especially last year, decreased because of the commodity prices. Mining companies all over the world, even where we went in other countries, the numbers were reduced, not because people don't like the mining industry, and they love Cape Town for that matter. That's why I'm telling you now that the commodity prices are bouncing back, and the messages as we travel, you're going to have a ball of a time in February here when it comes to the mining in Durban. Watch the space. And you can see that at least the portfolio, everybody's interested to say that let's put it on the pedestal again, the messaging that came from here. So I'm not as pessimistic as some of the members. I'm very optimistic about mining and going forward. Mema Folo, you see, South Africa, I say it and I say it with confidence that we've got a beautiful endowment, but we also know that gold mining is over 100 and many years. And mining is a wasting asset. Moving from number one to number six, it's not that we've done anything bad. We've taken a lot of gold out of this country for over many years, over 150 years of mining, formal mining, of gold, you know. So it can't be, and it's gone deeper. We still have a lot of gold in this country, but it's more expensive. You've got to go over 4 kilometers underground in one of the mines. We are the deepest mining jurisdiction in the world. But you know what? We've got the skills that everybody's looking for. The skills of deep mining includes ventilation, refrigeration, transportation, and. So people come to this country and say, tell us, because China has just got one, just under a kilometer or just above a kilometer. They can't go further because they don't have the skills. South Africans, wherever you go across the world, you've got the skills that we brag about. So we must continue. And we've got two institutions that are our trump cards here. The Council for Geoscience has been doing geomapping and exploration for this in this country for well over 100 years. And they've got data. Some companies are not even drilling holes anymore. They do what they call data mining. They just go to that institution and say, give us the historical data, and they map out the resource. And they are making money. So, you know, we have lost, as a country, exploration spend, and I can go on that one. I'm not, that doesn't give me sleepless nights. But in terms of investment, alala, that's something else. We've got MinTech that has been around for over 80 years. The technology, it's amazing. So we just have to prepare because, as I said, we've got a history of over 100 years. We've got the future to map out for the next 100 years. We just have to take ourselves seriously as South Africa and do things correctly. I think I want to leave it at that and know that we are actually in a very good space in South Africa. We just have to just ensure that we do things correctly to prepare for the future of mining going forward. Chair, you're looking at me with admiration, but I won't continue. Thank you.
I don't want to dispute what you are saying, but passionate as you might be, don't go to a territory that is not yours.
Which is one?
You are not a Sangoma, no, a palm reader.
How do you
You can't look at someone and then know what that person feels. Okay, honorable members, I think for me the issue is that first we must agree we have started something that, in my view, we should look at it quite positively and probably start to separate issues. Let me start with this one, DM, that you are talking about. I don't think it's something that you know, if we were to go out to and say, we heard you, or this is what you said, then we'll end up having to have a special court of each one's statements that is made. I don't have sleepless nights. I'm sure yourself, you don't have a sleepless night because you were called a small dictator in the minerals industry. Then must you call those people, come here and say you're a dictator? You can't. So if NUM have written that thing of a genocide, I don't know myself, I've not seen it. And unfortunately they're not here. There is a reason we won't invite them, because the purpose of the meeting is a completely different meeting. So there is no intention to sideline one component. The issue is mainly about what can we, or what is it that we objectively seek to reap out of this magnitude. And I think we finally being here, our task obviously as a committee is to how best can we assist you, both as a department and as the Chamber of Mines, because we can't do away with it. It's mining indaba is here. To what extent can we make you leverage out of it? So, and then probably, which is what we may follow up, is to then say, probably one of the things is that there may be no common planning for an event of this magnitude. And to what extent can we then, so that by the time we reach and we are at the event itself, or we are quite close to the event, if there are issues that are sticky issues, we have already attended to them, they are raised more in advance, we have already attended to them, so that when we go there, and I agree 100%, we can't expect, there is one thing that in Zulu they have, you see, they say, abantu abango manzo lwandle. You see, they don't always go the same direction. The question is, how do we manage? And I want to say this also. One comrade of mine in that other world once said, with people sitting, he said, here we've got the best leadership individually, but collectively we've got the worst leadership. Now, when you convene, you have an event, one of the most important thing or critical things to do, I once made this example again to say, there was an old man at home, the generation of my father. We knew that every time when there is a function, a traditional function, the first thing we must do, we must give him so that he takes and sleep. By the time he wakes up, we're finished with the function. No, it's not. Now, the point I have is that when you organize or you invite people, it's very important to make those people very much welcomed. And after that, we then sit down and say, but we did it. But did you notice what you did? This was wrong. But what you can't do, you can dangerously do, is invite people and say, come, I'm inviting you, join me, there is a function, I want to, and then the next thing you start to say, I'm older than you, and you are old, but you never had anything to contribute here, the other. The moment you do that, you are actually killing the purpose of what you have invited people for. So, in my view, we then have to do, look at almost three or four things. The first one, honorable members, could be to revisit. Probably there could be a much more gooder, not even better, a much more gooder story to tell, is to revisit what we talked about. How do we contribute much effectively on the leaders' declaration in mitigation against job losses? We all agree that we need to go back there. Not that we are cleverer than others, but to say, because at that time, if honorable members remember, it was only the department that came to make presentations. We said we must broaden this, because in as much as the declaration, it seems to have been only at that time, by the look of things, given responsibility through the department, so that we can deal with all the issues that are being raised in relation to, because that declaration was not just in its mitigation, it also had set up some targets and commitments by each. I think at the end, it had a commitment by each stakeholder, what it is going to do. So I think we have to agree that we treat that issue separately. There is a second issue that I think we must also say. Sometimes you can say the same thing. The problem is that you don't speak to each other, but you speak past each other. To say, this country wouldn't be, I hear what you say, I'm not disputing it. This country wouldn't be where it is today had we resorted into throwing stones permanently. We were throwing stones, we were doing almost everything. But ultimately we understood one thing, the logic of resolving a matter finally is to sit, engage, negotiate. And it doesn't mean we wouldn't be having even this high level. I probably could go further and say, some of those areas were compromises that were made, and to some degree that detrimental to what we are and where we are today. But we are to engage. Can't get tired. In that engagement, we should also be careful not to elevate each other above the rest. So we will appeal to the department to continuously engage the stakeholders. But in doing so, treat them as equals. They may not be the same, but you have to treat them as equals. But also respect the rights that they have. I don't know whether you get me. Must respect the rights that they have, because some of them, they've got collective rights as individual entities. I think we have to agree on that one. But lastly, DM, I think it's important, just for the sake of this coming Indaba, it's a suggestion, it's not a... We will say what we think as a committee we will agree on. Probably you go through this Indaba, at least we've got, I hope, we have a little bit of a break. Go through this Indaba. Post the Indaba, the department and the Chamber of Mines and whoever, sit down, make an assessment of the Indaba, be able to tease out what are the positives that we have here, what are these other areas, and engage. Then we will invite you back to this committee to say, on the 2017 mining Indaba, what lessons have been learned? What is it that we believe we can do and polish it much better. But we shouldn't, obviously, won't approach that thing from an angle of blame game. You didn't do this. What are these things? Maybe by the time you come from that, you'll be coming together and saying, no, we've realized that some of these things we may say by timeline, let's finish them by this time. Then we may go to the issue that Honorable Matlala tacitly wanted to suggest we do. Instead of next time inviting you as department and the Chamber of Mines, we get some... Yeah, he said it silently. I know he doesn't have capacity to say it openly. So we may come back here and say, in 2018, this is what we are presenting to you as a framework or whatever it is jointly, rather than, because to us, for and to me sitting here, you are custodians. Domestically, you are custodians. We look up to you. So anything that happens, you can only be our point of reference. So that common approach, I think it's important. On the other issues that we raise, I must say, yes, how do we handle it, we will see. Your voluntary submission. Your voluntary submission, I don't think we can reject it, as long as you stick to it. Not to bring it back next year when if we happen to invite you, that is the only time. I think there are three issues that you made a voluntary commitment. The first one was a clarity into what Honorable Lori might raise on the decline in shifts. Am I correct? The second one was the issue of the membership of the Chamber of Mines, which I'm sure it might be there even in your website, by the way. I don't know. Then there's an issue on the, I don't want to use this word misleading. I would say it's a contestation of facts or stats, whatever you call it. The department says in what is being presented, our own assessment, so I don't want to say is misleading. It's a contestation of facts. There is a fact that you say there is a decline. There is a GDP decline. There is an argument that say, by the way, there is a hidden information. It's not necessarily GDP decline as it is suggested. Am I correct, ne?
Chair, I mean, I think what we'll do is just essentially go to explain, yes, when we're saying
yes.
The mining GDP is declining.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Correct.
There's
yeah.
a GDP decline.
Yeah,
so you said you would want to back up that argument and by forwarding the information. But I was just saying that I don't think the argument, because sometimes strong words, we may end up debating, then the department saying, no, Chair, no word did we say is misleading. All what we're saying, this is what to us is a fact. So we just say we'll get that fact. And then I think on the other issues, let's then agree that we will deal with them when all the affected stakeholders are available. And probably the most available avenue will be that meeting that we said is going to be dealing with the declaration of leaders on the mitigation against job losses, blah, 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 and investment. Honorable Lorim.
Please don't forget my question about double funding of...
Yes. Then, the rest, and Honorable Lorima, yeah, is just a confirmation of why you are here in Parliament. Is the different political parties. And you're from the same party? I thought it might... No, the DM is... No, DM says they are from the same party. So he is not from the same party with you. So his 10 rand is already across the floor. Okay. On that note, honorable members, I think it's... I don't know whether you want to have the last word, but thank you very much. I think it's a... It's a nice experience. No, I'm not closing the meeting. There are no bells that have rung. The next issue... the next issue, we are not exempted, DM and your team, maybe the Chamber of Mines it is. Lily Mine, you... Any questions or... Honorable Lorima, Honorable Schmidt, okay, Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Lolrima, Honorable Piginini, Honorable Matlan.
Mr. Chair, I think the fact that on the 8th of February, I think it was, or the 2nd of February, whenever the incident occurred, 5th of February, is a period of, nearly 10 months. I think it's, with due respect, it's an indictment on society. And I'm not saying only in the mining industry, and I'm not saying only in the Department of Mineral Resources, I'm not saying, it's an indictment on society that we've not been able to do more with regards to those people. I don't know the answer as to how to do it, but I think if you were personally affected by any of those three individuals, you'd be fuming mad by the lack of activity, for whatever reason, I'm not saying. And I think there honestly needs to be some increase in commitment in dealing with the matter. That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Honorable Lauren?
Yeah, two questions. Before the Canadian deal, I believe there was an application to the IDC for funds to sink a new shaft, which would allow rescue work to go ahead. Could you tell us why the IDC deal fell through? And secondly, I'd like to know why the minister made promises at a public meeting to employees of compensation before he had consulted anybody, the mining company. Because what happened was the mining company did then not have the money to pay these people. And now that those payments have been promised, they're expected, and it's contingent on them finding new funding. So if you tell us why the minister made those promises.
Thank you very much, Chair. See, Chair, in this one of the Lily Mines, I'll start with other documents, Chair. Let's really welcome the reports that we received. They are so informative, and such that they give you the detail of issues blow by blow, and at least they really able to make us to understand where we are. Chair, my issue is a very simple one, the issue of Lily Mine, which that one is a very straightforward matter to us.
Yeah.
The only thing that we need is a question of updates, because that tragedy is not the one that we can play about it. It's a serious one that we have to find a way of dealing with it. But I think in each and every portfolio committee meetings,
yeah,
it becomes important that we are updated. Because if we wait until 3 months, 6 months down the line, it's as if we are not doing anything about it. So we must prioritize it, Chair. So that's my recommendation. Lastly, Chair, it became clear that there are issues of safety labor plans that I think we need to get closer to it, safety labor plans of all the companies, and when we do our work as a department. Even if we like it or not, you might find out that there are so many companies that we are dealing with that we can't be there from time to time. But I think we have to find a way of scrutinizing them and able really to understand what is taking place in each and every company that you are dealing with that are under your supervision. So that at the end of the day, where there are issues like this, you are able to account about it. You know, I think it's important that we do that. Thank you very much.
Do it for me, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair. Mine also is on the issue raised by my colleague here, Honorable Pikinini, with regard to the Lily Mine, that as a committee would like to also visit the area, maybe by next year, Chair, because we can't sit here and get the reports from whoever. and say, no, we are satisfied about these things, because some of us, we have never been there. It's only the department, the ministry, and you, Chair. But we'd like, as a committee, to be there to feel the pain that is going through the community of that area, including the families concerned. That's my one of my suggestions, Chair. The other one relates to the Chamber of Mines. It's not here, but there's a rep. The 20% reduction in serious injuries per year. I wanted to check with you as to whether the 20%, are you referring to the 400,000 employees of the mine, or are you referring to another sections of the mine, of the Chamber of Mines? The other one, Chair, there is a statement here, Chair.
Why did you allow us to go past the presentation? Because Mr. Chabane is gone now.
Now
we're dealing with Lily Mine.
This what I'm saying, Chair. The chair is out of order. Yes, indeed, right, Mr. Beginning, you are quite right.
Because
you allow us to come and have another bite, yeah. So these guys, they must withdraw, Chair.
Richard. Matlala, Honorable. We made a summary of which the committee did not contest, of what is going to be the process with regards to the mining in Daba issues. We even separated them and on how we are going to handle them. And I was allowed. Wait, Honorable Matlala, in beginning, you will say you didn't hear. Now, the problem with a meeting is that the acting secretary of the committee has written minutes that this is what was summarized. Now, can the very same meeting review its own decision on what is going to happen in the same meeting? I don't want to use this word out of order. Can we deal with, we're dealing with Lily Mine. So you are done with Lily Mine. Okay. No. This is Honorable Matlala. Is a member in his own right of parliament. But on the matter that he's dealing with, it's closed. Now I'm saying on Lily Mine, that's where we are. I assume we are done. Can you get answers, DM and acting DG?
The acting DG and the acting chief inspector of mines, which is actually two in one now, will might want to respond on the safety plans or labor plans of companies, how we need to deal with that further. I think the Chamber of Mines was asked on the reduction of issues, but let me deal with this matter so that I don't come back. Mr. Schmidt, I agree with you totally that this matter is really an indictment on us and our society in terms of how we can be seen to be failing the families of the three mine workers who are trapped underground. I've been there where we've been accused even by the communities of government not doing anything to try and help. We tried to explain what we could do because the law says that if you go underground, there must be a safe entry and a safe exit. In other words, if you don't have those, the law doesn't allow anybody to go underground. The mine is obliged not to allow anybody to go underground. The business rescue practitioners, if they get a report from the rock engineers that it's not safe, they wouldn't allow anybody underground because if somebody else dies there again, they take responsibility. So I think that is the dilemma. And that's why they have been saying, this is Matlala, behave yourself. And Pikani. That's why they have been saying that, you know, this is the proposal that we're putting on the table. Now, I agree that we must have and some increased commitment in dealing with this. In South Africa, you know, when I left, went there with the president of the Chamber of Mines, was basically to look if there are any other technical matters, because the Mine Health and Safety Council has tried everything, including involving the cell phone companies to see if we can use the SIM cards that people had in terms of their numbers. There have been a whole range of other issues that we have tried to do that did not bring the results that we wanted. But now, when we were in some of the international fora, we engaged a company called NEOS, which seemed to be having some, we're just waiting for them to come and maybe try and see at an international level. But they said to us they've got the technology that can locate and maybe find a way of helping us. We've discussed this with the mine, the unions, and the business rescue practitioner, because they are the one who've got the legal access. They can give access in that they've agreed. So we've linked them up together to try and discuss and see if we can use this technology, because it looks like we've exhausted what we could do in South Africa, but we still try. So in that matter. Now, the issue of the IDC, there is a matter that we've asked the mine to say, in situations like this, we expect the mine to be having an insurance themselves for accident like this. It's still an outstanding matter that they said the insurance don't cover this, that and the other. But it's an area that we've packed to come back to. The second matter is the IDC. When they told us that they did not like the conditions of the IDC, because the IDC was saying, if we give you this funding, because you've declared a loss and so on, then that means even those that are your BEE companies must be in the same position as you. They must also declare a loss. In other words, they can't remain liable whilst you say you cannot, I mean, you just want the money, etc. So that means we give you this on condition that you write it off. I think that is one of the issues that they've raised. And the mine rescue practitioner said they were not happy with that. I went with the president of the Chamber of Mines to the IDC to say, this is a sensitive matter, why is the problem? They said, no, we're open. We're actually still waiting for them to come to us. But we think that the way they want to this transaction through is favoring others at the disadvantage of others. But we are still open to discussing this matter with them. We've got their profile, and we also have helped them before. So we went back to them and said, no, the IDC still want to talk to you. But at the time, they said, no, we've got the money already. So we don't have to go back to the IDC, but if there's anything, we can go back. So it's not like the state institution did not want them to help. But also, you see, we must also be careful not to use this sensitive matter just to raise funds. It should be a matter to try and achieve the objective that the miners set themselves to, and so on and so on. So it's important. I've raised my own discomforts that I'm not going to say here about the issues of delaying that you picked up, that we're creating a very dangerous precedent here. We have given the mine and the business rescue practitioner a lot of leeway in terms of our laws because of understanding this matter. So I park this one because I prefer that we deal with that separately. So the IDC matter, they are still as prepared to talk to the mine about this matter as they have been before. Now, they said to us they've got the money, and the issue about the minister, I will not speak for the minister, but my understanding was that the minister made the announcement, which was the announcement that they have discussed with the mine, consulted upon, and agreed upon. When we went back, the mine has not disputed that to me. They said, no, we've made provision in the loan agreement to pay the money as promised. So, and they what we said to them is that, you know, let's deal with the soft issues of human beings and so on, so that we just faced up with this difficult technical geological matter of recovering and try the container and the people who are inside or wherever they are. So they made the commitment that no, we're done. It's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But by the 15th of November 2016, we would have paid the four families 200,000 rands each as promised. And by the 15th of December, they would have paid the other 50,000 as promised. So 15th of November came, about the 20th, it came to my attention that the money was not paid. I tried to phone the business rescue practitioner, and he did not pick up my phone. But normally, when he calls or I call, we have been talking on this matter to try and find cooperation. I've got no explanation as to why this time around, but they did not meet up with their commitment of payment in November as at that time. I haven't got an update now as we came to this meeting, and we'll also watch the space in terms of December, what happened. So in other words, it's not a contested matter by the mine that it was not their intention. So it's a matter that maybe in terms of the announcement, regrettably it was not announced by the mine, it was announced by the minister. That's one matter. In this instance, together with us, they announced to the union and the families that by the 15th and the 15th, they would have paid. In other words, if I took the same position and did it myself, they might step back and say the deputy minister has announced the dates. So they have announced it. The issue relating to the update of the committee on a regular basis, I agree with it. And the visit, I think that the committee will sort out in terms of whether they visit Lily Mine. But please inform the business rescue practitioner in advance if you want to visit, because they must make the arrangements on time. That is only my request. Acting DG on the safety plans of companies and the reduction of the Chamber of Mines of 20% injuries per year, I think I would leave that to you. But Chair, because I don't want to come back, we have to listen to your summary about the leaders' declaration, that you might want to invite all stakeholders to come back here. And I did comment that we are going to engage stakeholders. The equality that you don't... that you're talking about, we understand, we hear your advice, but in real life it doesn't exist. But in terms of the issues, in terms of the industry, we are going to treat them as you're proposing. Post-mining assessment, Indaba assessment, we'll await your invitation on that, so that we do that. And the other matters that were committed by the Chamber of Mines, in terms of the four matters, declining shift, membership, GDP, and the contestation thereof, and the double funding, we have noted the matters. And I think what the Chamber of Mines will be sending to the committee, they will copy in the DMR on this, so that we also benefit from their wisdom on these matters. Thank you very much, and as you go towards closure, Happy New Year and prosperous New Year. Happy Merry Christmas to all of you. I won't speak after this. Thank you very much for your indulgence.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. Mr. Mbanambu will just touch on the health and safety plans on what we do on those.
Why don't we do it like this? Not that I'm closing you. I think what Honourable Pikinini was raising was in light of the Lily Mine, what could be there as the general health and safety plans in mining. My fear is that if it is not in the form of a presentation on health and safety, so that the rationale and logic of members can then locate this. I was going to say the problem is going to be the festive period. That probably amongst other things, because next year we'll be dealing with the budgetary processes. Shouldn't you, in that preparation, especially post the budget announcement, shouldn't we then say, when it comes to this issue, Babu Mbonambi, give more flesh on it. It could be the bigger one. To remember, it will also be in the context of the expenditure that Babu Mbonambi promotion you still owe us. You remember you had a surplus of 25 million rands. Mine Health and Safety Council. So we link that. I think the context to Honorable Piginini wanted was to then to see whether they are very tight. The third leg is what, thank you, Dem, you won't come back again. And I will never wish you to come back again on this matter, not on earth. Is that there is still the issue of the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill, which you still owe us because you are going through your processes. So you still owe us. I know you have agreed that the level of network and so forth. Sitting here, I know. So shouldn't we handle it in that fashion, Honourable Members? Okay. Now we will consider what Honorable Matlala is talking about, as long as he's aware that we are still in the same financial year. We will not meet again now, Honorable DM, in the absence of the minister. But there is one part that is being raised, and I want to start with it. That part is the one that says there is something that is being led by that interministerial committee is led by the Minister of Social Development. I hope that amongst other things, it's not just there will be other things that are humanitarian, that through the Department of Social Development, and probably the interventions of the Chamber of Mines, let's abuse them because they are here. They can contribute towards this community, especially the three families, because clearly these were breadwinners. We can't run away from it. Can we ask Chamber of Mines together with the Department of Mineral Resources to take responsibility to show the human side? This is going to be Christmas. And during Christmas, these people were looking forward to. I know each one of us can also individually decide what to do. But for them, even if they have their loved ones are not with them now, DM and Babu Mbonambi, can you lead that program, obviously under the leadership, because it's not here, the Department of Social Development, to look on the humanitarian side, what is it that can be done? Secondly, by next year, I was trying to check because we mentioned people. The reality of the matter is that those people, they may have had not just spouses or partners. They will have had children. And next year, it's opening of schools. Can we look, is there anything that will require the intervention? It's not that I'm discriminating those one who survived. I'm just talking about these three. What is it that is of immediate? You see, sometimes a gesture, humanitarian gesture, can ease even a hardened heart to say this is what, for now, whilst we're still battling with this thing, we can be able to do. I'm saying this thing so that there must be a declaration here so that when the chamber go to the Chamber of Mines, you engage the president like you did before, at least we know that it was done. I want to make this, not that we're underestimating the work that is being done, DM and Babom says. But I think, honorable members, I'm not saying they are culprits, ne? But I find it very odd, honestly, to sit and talk about people who have never hear them talking for themselves. Why is this so much delay? And I think, amongst other things, next year, by the way, it's not, I hope I heard you correctly, Honorable Schmidt, it's not 10 months, it's 12 months. 5 December will be 12 months, 12 February will be 12 months exactly, it's a year since that incident happened. We hear you, DM. We might be sharing I can see you don't want to come. Now I'm predicting, because I could see you have a capacity to predict. Let me use my super capacity to predict. I can see you are a little bit frustrated, but like an old, maturing old man, you are beginning to have things that you are hiding in the public domain. We must share in your frustration. There is no way we'll continuously get these briefings and people don't come and account. Why? We will consider, we will look at it, what procedure you have to follow, to invite the Lily Mine management themselves and the mine business rescue practitioner. I don't want to say business rescue practitioner, it's because it's in mining. We must invite them here, so that they talk themselves, all these other things, because now it's more like we are not questioning the credibility of the information that we are giving. Maybe sometimes when you meet with people and they know that you are the one who will convey the information on their behalf, they may not take it as serious as probably we are taking it here. So that we need to escalate that. So we will consider and look at that issue. Okay, on that score, honorable members, can we go to the minutes? Page 1, minutes of the 23rd. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, any move of the minutes? Any move of the minutes, Honorable Nyambi?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of this minutes as a true reflection of the meeting of the 23rd November 2016. Thank you.
Any second?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I wish to second, Chair.
Thank you.
No matters arising. Minutes of the 30th, page 1. This one was straightforward. Page 2. Yes, I'm doing it because it's a tradition. Page 3. You can't thank us, DM, and then pack your bags. Maybe we're still going to decline your thanking us. Just because it's coming from you, not from the department. So wait, we may change our minds when you go out. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7, Page 8. Any mover? Honorable Matlala? I must check them correctly when they are moved by you. Honorable Matlala?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 30th of November 2016 as a true reflection of the discussions had by the committee chair. Thank you very much.
Any second?
I second, Chair.
Any matters arising? In the absence of matters arising, we now come to the conclusion of the meeting. Just to say, honorable members, the program is out from the 24th up until... No. 24th, I'll still have to check. But on the 24th is an oversight. That oversight has been approved, is going to be taking place in the Western Cape. Constituents up until... Oh, fine. But we will have the oversight in the Western Cape, and then we might have another one in March, in end of March. We have forwarded the program, but out of these discussions, we may have to go back again and review the program so that we can again resubmit it, not on the oversight, but for the committee work that is supposed to be done. On that note, let me thank everyone. We hope and wish you will have a good festive season. Please don't overindulge on any matter. We want to see you. I think what Babu Chabana was saying is more appropriate now. Truth be told, honorable members, sir, that is not our terrain. Road carnage in this country is second, probably it could be now above, is second as a killer disease to HIV and AIDS. And I think we must be able to say that we should be not just be careful, but make sure that we're compliant. Most importantly, if we can lobby even in our own different colleagues in the committees, that probably that is one area that requires the same elevation or more also elevation, because most of the time is based on human error. So our roads have become a scene of slaughter. So we hope this will have each one of us has got a duty. We'll have at least a lesser, because it seems it's one of the most impossible tasks. We can do it. So it's just to say, this has at some point to come to an end. And it's a duty of each and every one of us to make that little and small contribution. But we hope and wish you a safe journey. Please, there is no committee up until January end next year. Go home. Don't hide and say the chair is giving you tough time, is now calling you during the festive season. We don't want to see you. If you are not at home, then they shouldn't blame Parliament for your being inaccessible. So go and be with your families. And thank you very much. I'm sure we had one of the most successful years. I don't want to praise you too much. Some of you, your parties may recall you. But I think we must also pat ourselves at the back we have worked even under difficult circumstances. The level of patience and tolerance, political tolerance in this committee, without shying away from raising issues, it's quite something that we must be appreciated. I never knew, DM, that by this time we'll be talking about being over of the... If there is one lesson I learned this year, was the MPRDA. It taught me that to study the rules of parliament, probably because the constitution is much easier than the parliamentary rules, because 1 minute you think you are gone, and then down the line you are told, no, you are carrying a wrong procedure, come back. So it would not have been easy if there was no cooperation amongst members of the committee. So we thank you very much. Obviously, we are not here to agree. We are here to ensure that the work which is in the benefit of this country is something that is best fall on our hands. Hope to see you next year. Thank you very much. Go well.
Thank you.